जयं शुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की जयं नित्यविला प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की आनंद कोणि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौड़ भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविनाथ श्यामगुंड राधा गुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायपुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की यमुना మాయకి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సమవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమానంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అండ్ శ్రీ గౌరాంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద నమామి శ్రీపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలి శ్రీమతి భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిని నిధి నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వదేవీం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశతారిణీ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయ చక్షురుణ్మీలితాం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టాం స్థాపితాం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపకదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాందియం వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుధాపదకమలం శ్రీగురుం వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సద్వైతం సావధూతం హరిజనసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధాకృష్ణపదాన్ సహగణలలితాం శ్రీవిశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ నమాం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తివేదాంతస్వామినిది నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతీదేవీం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేషశూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యాదేశధారిణే నమాం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తసిద్ధాంత సరస్వతీది నామినే శ్రీవర్షభానవీ దేవీ వేదాయ ప్రభాబ్ధయే కృష్ణ సంబంధ విజ్ఞానం దాయిదే ప్రభవే నమః మాధుర్యోజ్వల ప్రేమాగ్ని శ్రీరూపానుగ భక్తిద శ్రీగౌరకరుణాశక్తి విగ్రహాయ నమోస్తుతే నమస్తే గౌరవాణి శ్రీమూర్తయే దీనధారిణి రూపానుగ విరుద్ధాప సిద్ధాంతద్వంద్వహారిణి నమో గౌరకిశోరాయ సాక్షాద్ వైరాగ్యమూర్తయే విప్రలంబ ప్రసాంబోధే పాదాంబుజాయే నమః నమో భక్తి వినోదాయ సచ్చిదానందనామినే గౌరశక్తిస్వరూపాయ రూపనూగవరాయతే గౌరావిర్భవ భూమే స్వం నిర్దేష్టా సజ్జనప్రియ వైష్ణవా సర్వభౌమ శ్రీ జగన్నాథాయ దే నమః వంశకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధూభ్యైవ చ పదినానాం భావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః నమో మహావదన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయదే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామ్నే గౌరత్వశే నమః పంచతత్వాత్మకం కృష్ణం భక్తరూపస్వరూపకం భక్తావతారం భక్తాఖ్యం నమామి భక్తశాక్తికం హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగల్పదే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే జయదాం సురతో భంగోర్మమ మందమదేర్గది మత్సరవస్వదాంబోజౌ రాధామదనమోహనౌ దివ్యవృందారణ్యకల్పద్రుమాదౌ శ్రీమంద్రత్నాకరసింహాసనస్థౌ శ్రీమన్రాధాశీలగోవిందదేవౌ ప్రేష్టాలిభిః సేవ్యమానౌ స్మరామి శ్రీమన్రాసరసారంభీ వంశీవటతటస్థిత కర్షాన్వేణుస్వనేర్గోపేర్గోపినాథాశ్రియేస్తున తప్తకాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద ശ്രീഅദ്വൈതഗദാധരശ്രീവാസാദിഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ So, in Bhagavad Gita, generally we say that the first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita refers to karma, isn't it? Next six chapters refers to bhakti, and the last six chapters refers to jnanam. This is how they call it as the shatkam. Shatkam means the six chapters together. So, this way, among the acharyas, they have spoken in this way, that the first six chapters is karma, next six chapters is bhakti, and the last six chapters is jnana. In there, we talked about the first six chapters. We have covered that very extensively in the second time when we have done Bhagavad Gita. First time when we did Bhagavad Gita, we didn't go through in detail. But the second time when we spoke Bhagavad Gita, we had covered that in detail. If you continue to listen to those classes, those six chapters, you will have a fairly good picture of what is karma and karma yoga is all about. Because it is the first factor in spiritual life to get this karma sorted first. Karma is the first thing. And the power of karma is such in spiritual life. Most of us don't give enough importance to it because we are ignorant about it. That is why. We don't understand the influence of karma in a person's life. For example, even great personalities, Krishna and Ramachandra, when they come here, they also follow that rule of karma. They have to. That's the way it is structured. For example, if you remember, that in Mahabharata you will notice this. After the Mahabharata war was over, the Pandavas decided on the last day of the war to go to the riverbank and stay there with Krishna. So five Pandavas, Draupadi, her children, along with Krishna, traveled to the Yamuna River. And they wanted to stay there on the riverbank because the war was finished, officially declared finished, over, because most of the people were dead. There's only four or five people left on either side. So there was nothing to be worried about. They decided to go, and near the Yamuna River, they created a barracks for the Draupadi and the children to sleep in the night. They were sleeping there, and Pandavas were very tired after this long war, and so much destruction has happened. And Krishna unusually took the chariot and the horses to the river to bathe, and Krishna was still ready for another war after all this. That was Krishna's situation. Somehow or the other, that night, Ashwathama decided to kill Panjali, Draupadi's children. He went into the barracks, or what do you call them, place where the children were sleeping, and without any mercy killed all the children. He said apandavayam. In the Bhagavatam it says like apandavayam. Apandavayam means he does not want even one person in the Pandava family to exist in this planet. He wanted to completely wipe them out from this world. So he did that. And this was always a surprise why people asked this question. Draupadi was a great devotee of Krishna. And in spite of that, why did this happen? Why such a thing happened to her? And Draupadi was very much, you know, she was very much in grief. And then they looked for Ashwathama later. All that story is there in the Bhagavatam. Also there is in long description in Mahabharatam as well. Strange enough, when all these things happened, Krishna didn't say one word about it. Have you noticed that? In the Bhagavatam you will see, when the children were killed, and Draupadi is such a devotee of Krishna, and all these things have happened, Krishna didn't say one word about it. Why? Why did this happen? Could Krishna not have protected the children? Draupadi's children? Krishna knew everything, what goes on in this world. So, you can see there, things happen in this world without any justification behind it. Later on, the commentators on Bhagavatam and on the commentaries on Mahabharatam are saying that if you break the law in this world, the punishment will come at some time. Punishment will come at some time. It may not happen immediately, but some other time it can happen. And why Ashwathama did that, it is also justified by saying that when war was going on, Arjuna could not fight with Drona. Drona was very difficult to fight with. And they knew that Drona will kill Arjuna. They had no choice there. So Krishna allowed Yudhishthira Maharaj to tell a lie to kill Drona. What was that? Ashwathama hatha kunjara. That Ashwathama has been killed, he said. But then, very quietly, he said kunjara, the elephant Ashwathama. Without saying, Ashwathama is the son of Dronacharya. Dronacharya's son is Ashwathama, the only son. And Dronacharya is very much attached to this Ashwathama. So when Ashwathama was declared dead, Dronacharya lost all interest in the war and he decided to give up his body and leave this world. When this incident happened and Ashwathama came to know about this later, he said, if they don't follow the rule, we don't need to follow the rules either. If the Pandavas don't follow the rules, we don't follow the rules either. This is what has prompted Ashwathama to go and kill those children in the barracks. Yes, in the barracks. She decided to kill. So Krishna knows very well that some reaction of that must going to happen in one way or the other. It is there in the Bhagavatam. It's there in the Mahabharatam also. So point to understand is that if we break the law in the material world, there is law, dharmam is there in everything. And once it's broken, then it's broken. Then the results must come from that. In the Bhagavatam also, you will notice this in the same way. In the sixth canto, if you look, you will see that Didi Devi had her children, was growing up. Aditi Devi, her Kashyapa Prajapati had two wives, Aditi Devi and Didi Devi. From Aditi Devi, all the demigods were born, and from Didi Devi, all the daityas or demons, they were born. Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, all of them were born from Didi Devi. So when Aditi Devi went to Krishna and requested that he should help her to find someone to kill the Didi Devi's children. This was the prayers, isn't it? You will see in the eighth canto, the prayers from Vamana Avataram, Vamana's appearance is coming from that. So Aditi Devi asked for a help from Krishna, and very reluctantly Krishna offered that help, came as Vamana Murti and killed all the, managed to get back the planet, the heavenly planets from Mahabali and hand it over to Aditi Devi. In Didi Devi's womb, she was observing the fast to get a son who was capable of killing Indra. That was Adidevi's desire. Adidevi came to know about it, and Adidevi approached Krishna, and Vamanamurti appeared, and in that process, Indra went and killed all the children of Adidevi. We will see in the last chapter of the sixth canto, Maruts, the story of the Maruts, Maruts were appearance. So, when this happened, Adidevi told Aditi, Adidevi said, cursed Aditi actually, you have requested my children to be killed and you have arranged everything very nicely through Indra and through Vamanamurti. You will also experience the same way, the same grief at one time. Apparently that is the reason that when Devaki Devi appeared, because Aditi Devi has come as Devaki in this life, isn't it? Aditi Devi has come as Devaki Devi, as also Krishna's mother. Why Devaki Devi had to go through that six children which were killed by Kamsa to experience that same distress? What I'm saying is, the power of karma is such a powerful thing in this world. When Krishna is talking about these six chapters in the Bhagavad Gita about karma, if you don't take it seriously and understand, accept it properly, the way Krishna expects us to do, progress in spiritual life is very much impeded. It will not go very far. It will stay. That's why Bhagavad Gita is so important, a text. It is such a valuable instruction from Krishna directly to us. And that is why all great personalities, they fall at Bhagavad Gita. Why? Samasta Vedartha Sara Sangraha Bhudam. This is how they call Bhagavad Gita. That means if you take all the Vedic literature and if you take all the essence of that and the very cream of it, if you condense it, that is Bhagavad Gita. Samastha Vedartha Sara Sangraha Bhudam. Ajaya Swamiji begins the Bhashyam like this about Bhagavad Gita. So Bhagavad Gita is a subject which requires a lot of, even if you don't study any other book in this world, if you study this Bhagavad Gita very seriously, it will open up our eyes to see this life properly, what we are here for. And that is the greatness of this literature, Bhagavad Gita. And the more time we spend on it, the more we understand it, you will see that it opens up a completely new world of spiritual life to us. So the first six chapters we spoke about the karma and the value of the understanding that aspect of karma. Particularly, if you look at the second chapter, Krishna talked about, for a small amount of time, about Jnanam, which is Sankhyam, and then you straight away moved into Karma Yoga, isn't it, in the second chapter. Third chapter is all about Karma Yoga. Third chapter is all about Karma Yoga. And then if you look into the fourth chapter, which is addressed here as the Transcendental Knowledge, that's the title given. I will go into the titles used in the Sanskrit, which is Jnana Karma Sanyasa Yoga. The link between Jnanam and Karma, how that works, that's what is spoken there. Jnana Karma Sanyasa Yoga. And then Krishna, Arjuna had questions. Because at the end of third chapter also, Arjuna had questions. In clarifying that, Krishna spoke this fourth chapter of Jnana Karma Sannyasa, which is transcendental knowledge, which is translated like that. And then, at the end of the fourth chapter, Krishna spoke about, Arjuna had more questions. Because hearing from Krishna, Arjuna's doubts were getting little complicated, complex. And he asked this question to Arjuna, Krishna, about Jnanam and the link connection with karma. Which one is the right thing to do? And that is when Karma Sanyasam was spoken in the fifth chapter. And then after that, Krishna spoke the Dhyana Yogam, or the meditation, or what is called here as Dhyana Sangha Yogam, Krishna mentioned here, but Dhyana Yogam, it is the meditation of a chapter regarding meditation. So these six chapters, beginning with first chapter to six chapters, is all related to karma. If they are understood properly, if you have grasped it, the message what Krishna is giving there, it is so important to get that into our understanding properly. Then, after that, we have another six chapters referring to bhakti. Beginning with the seventh chapter, which we have seen, Jnanam Vijnana Yogam. The importance of Jnanam, importance of Vijnanam. Mayasakta Manapartha begins with that verses, isn't it? So bhakti is discussed in the next six chapters. And after that, from the chapter 12 onwards, is the six most important chapters, which is related to jnanam. As I said before, bhakti and jnanam is not actually different. It's one and the same. Way we understand that is that bhakti, what is discussed in the Bhagavad Gita, is not the bhakti what we normally refer to in our sadhana level. In sadhana level, we talk about sadhana bhakti, isn't it? That is only with respect to purification of one's existence in this world. It only takes up to that level. Purification of one's existence. In other words, Shastram, it's called it as chitta shuddhi. Only for the sake of chitta shuddhi, that is sadhana bhakti. But after that, what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Bodha Prasannatma Nashochadi Nakamshadi Sama Sarveshu Bodheshu Mad Bhaktim Labhade Param. That para bhakti, what Krishna is talking about, that is that bhakti what is discussed in the Bhagavad Gita, in those six chapters in the middle, which will come to that later. But these coming six chapters now, after this 11th chapter, is so important. If you listen to it, and if you meditate on it, if you spend enough time on it, it will give you a very, very deep understanding of Krishna's view on our existence in this world. What it is direct. Because these six chapters at the end of Bhagavad Gita, chapter from 12 to 18, beginning with, we will see here, that the 11th chapter is the what is known as Vishwarupa Darshanam. Vishwarupa Darshanam means the universal form. The 12th chapter is Bhakti Yoga, isn't it? Bhakti. And if you study that chapter, you will notice what is Bhakti. Bhakti is not that Bhakti what we talk about Bhakti in this world. Krishna's definition of Bhakti is only, Krishna refers to that para Bhakti, after realization. After realization. Jnanam and bhakti goes together, side by side, hand in hand. It is through jnanam one reaches the state of bhakti, and you need that bhakti to develop that jnanam. It is so together. So, Bhakti Yogam is the 12th chapter, and in the 13th chapter, Krishna wanted us to start from the beginning to understand what we are. That is why he spoke what is known as the nature, the enjoyer and consciousness. That is the title in English. But in the Sanskrit it is Kshetram, Kshetrajna, Vibhaga Yogam. It's called. Kshetram is the field, the body, and Kshetrajna is the person who is inside, Krishna. So, what is the difference between Kshetram and Kshetrajna? Kshetram and Kshetrajna. A very, very clear understanding of us is in that chapter. Very clear understanding of us in that chapter. When you hear that chapter, automatically you will be forced to accept that Krishna is telling us something too subtle level. Very subtle level it's spoken. And if you get that subtlety of that chapter, you'll be so impressed by that knowledge what Krishna has revealed in that chapter of the Kshetra Kshetra Vibhaga Yogam. Such an important chapter in the Bhagavad Gita. So, after talking about that, in the next 3-4 chapters, Krishna wanted to tell us why we are not able to realize the truth. What all stops us from realizing the truth? Because every time we ask this question, we study the book, we study or memorize all the verses, we know the meaning of everything, and we can tell somebody else, but it's not happening here, inside. No changes are happening. And that's why you notice this, that if this hasn't happened over a long period of time, people will tend to fall from spiritual path. They will fall from the spiritual. They won't be able to hold on to that. Because Krishna says this in the Bhagavad Gita. Yashastra vidyamul srajya vartade kamakaragam. Arjuna asked this question. Arjuna, how important is Arjuna asking Krishna, how important is Shastram? Krishna says, if there is no Shastram, there is no spiritual life. This is the answer. That is how important Shastram is. If there is no Shastram, there is no spiritual life. We can't run our spiritual life based on our mind. We can't run our spiritual life based on our mental concoctions. It has to be based on what Krishna has spoken. Why Krishna is called Jagadguru, Supreme Spiritual Master, isn't it? Vasudeva Sudam Devam Kamsa Janura Mardanam Devagi Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagadgurum. He is the Supreme Spiritual Master. No one else has done in relationship with spiritual life what Krishna has done to this world. particularly by presenting this Bhagavad Gita to us, Krishna has opened up the eyes of so many people. And it still opens up the people of many, many thoughtful people. They are still affected by this Bhagavad Gita. So, after talking about the nature, the enjoyer and consciousness, which is the Kshetra Kshetrajna Vibhaga Yogam, Krishna wanted to tell us some things. What exactly is causing the problem of self-realization? And therefore, he took one whole chapter to tell us about what is called three modes of material nature. In other words, in the Bhagavad Gita, it is addressed as Gunatraya Vibhaga Yogam. Gunatraya means the three modes. Vibhaga means their broken up state. Vibhaga Yogam. How they are. Sattvam, Rajasa, Tamasa. Sattvam, Rajasa, Tamasa. So, we hear Bhagavad Gita. We hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And then we feel frustrated. Nothing is happening. Nothing is changing. I am still where I am. Nothing is changing in me. When this frustration comes, it is these six chapters which will make you aware why it is not happening. Why I am not experiencing any spiritual realization. And therefore, at the very end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is telling us, take attention of these six chapters. They are important. If you understand these six chapters, Gunatraya Vibhagam. Gunatraya means these modes of nature. Krishna's, as they say, Krishna's three soldiers standing there. Not allow them to get in. The knowledge to get inside and to operate, to work. So after saying that, Krishna talked about the highest of the knowledge, which is in the Bhagavad Gita, the Yoga of the Supreme Person. Yoga of the Supreme Person, which is addressed here as the Purushottama Yogam. That Purushottama Yogam will open up our understanding that what is my relationship with Krishna? In relationship with Krishna, where am I? How much do I have to go closer to Krishna before we understand what is Krishna? Isn't it? So, there is Aksharapurushan, Aksharapurushan, Purushottaman. Three things are discussed in that chapter. And you will see these are all different stages in the development of spiritual life. Aksharapurusha, Aksharapurusha, Purushottama. Till you reach that state of Purushottama, what is your state of consciousness? When you are in the Aksharapurusha stage, what is your state of consciousness? In the Kshara stage, what is your state of consciousness? This is all discussed in that 15th chapter. Just to make us aware that it is not that overnight it can happen. It won't happen. There is a long way and there is a long process of purification needed before all these impediments goes away from inside. And the more we hear about it, the more we will become serious about it. Otherwise, there is no chance. We are always thinking that Bhagavad Gita is such a simple text, we think. It is not so simple. It's not so simple. On one hand, it is simple. But there is something in us which stops us from accepting Bhagavad Gita in various levels. In various levels. So, immediately after that, Krishna talked about the two different natures in this world. One is the divine nature and the other one is the demonic nature. And how these two different natures in everyone, it is present in everyone. Divine nature is present there. Demonic nature is also present. How we will act in this world according to their predominance. If the divine nature is predominant, we will act in the divine way. If the demonic nature is predominant, we will act in the demoniac way. So how these two natures influence us. Earlier, Krishna told us how the modes of nature is influencing us and stopping us from realizing the truth and realizing the self. In this chapter, Krishna is telling us that already this divine nature and demonic nature is in us. We bring that with us from the previous life when we had come to this body. We have brought that with us and how that will have its effect on us in realizing the self. In realizing the self. So, Krishna talked about that a whole chapter, which is the 16th chapter, Daivasura Samvad Vibhaga Yogam. All that is Vibhaga Yogam. Vibhaga Yoga means that these two things, Gunatraya Vibhaga Yogam is the earlier chapter. Now there is Daivasura Samvad Vibhaga Yogam. Daivigam means divine, Asura means demoniac. Samvad, one who has got that propensity. Daiviga propensity or divine propensity and the demoniac propensity. So that classification Krishna has spoken in that chapter. Immediately after that, Krishna says, if you want to progress in spiritual life and to free yourself from this demonic nature and from the modes of material nature, there is a thing called Shraddha. Shraddha. And దాట్ శ్రద్ధ ఈస్ ఆల్సో అండర్ ద త్రీ మోడ్స్ ఆఫ్ నేచర్. యు సీ హౌ కాంప్లెక్స్ దాట్ ఈస్. ఇట్స్ ఆల్సో అండర్ ది త్రీ మోడ్స్ ఆఫ్ నేచర్. సో వాట్ కృష్ణ డిడ్ వాస్ హీ ఎక్స్ప్లెయిన్ టు అస్ వాట్ ఈ శ్రద్ధ మీన్స్. ఫస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ దట్ హోల్ చాప్టర్ ఈస్ సో ఇంపార్టెంట్. Many, many verses, Krishna goes on talking about Shraddha, Shraddha, Shraddha. And then he divides Shraddha into three, under the three modes of nature. That is, and Krishna calls it as Shraddha Traya Vibhaga Yoga. Which means that the Krishna addressed that as divisions of faith. In English it's addressed as divisions of faith. So, we have got Bhakti Yogam, Krishna has spoken. No, Vishuruva Darshana Yogam, Krishna has spoken, which is what we are discussing now, the 11th chapter. Immediately after that, Krishna went into Bhakti Yogam, spoke about Bhakti, so that there is no misunderstanding what Bhakti means, what Krishna is talking about Bhakti. Then, after that, Krishna moved into Kshetra Kshetra Vibhaga Yogam, to explain to us what we are in this world. What are we? We may say ourselves, we address ourselves, calling ourselves by names, or identifying with the land, or language, or whatever it is. But Krishna's point is, none of them is actually you. You are something different than all that. So to take us unto that state, that Kshetra Kshetrajna Vibhaga Yogam is so much to take us out of that bodily identity. To make us aware that we are, because the great, great sages who out of their mercy to us have given us this understanding that this bodily identity with which we identify in various levels is not of any help in spiritual advancement. Spiritual advancement is moving away from this body. So to explain that, Krishna took this whole chapter of Kshetra Kshetrajna Vibhagam. Kshetra means the body, Kshetrajna is the person inside. Who is that person inside? Who is different than the body? So he told us, what is that person inside and where is he present? Where he is present is the Kshetrajna, the field. And who is inside is the Kshetra. The Kshetra is the field, and Kshetrajna is the person who is present inside. He did that in that chapter, 13th chapter. And in the 14th chapter onwards, Krishna wanted to tell us what is actually stopping us from realizing the truth. And to that extent, he spoke first time about the three modes of material nature, Sattvam, Rajas and Tamas. Immediately after that, he spoke about what is known as the three modes of material nature, and then he talked about the yoga of the Supreme Person, which is the Purushottama Yoga. The whole, these five chapters are very, very subtle chapters. Very subtle chapters. When you keep on listening to it, you yourself will feel inside something ticking. You will start feeling there is something more amazing than any other part in the Bhagavad Gita for the next six chapters. If you keep listening to it, the explanation of each of those verses in Acharya Swami's commentary and many other Acharya's commentaries, you will notice that what a wonderful job they have done with Bhagavad Gita. When Krishna spoke to Arjuna, it was just verses. In the form of those verses, we got it, isn't it? But the amount of realization that is packed into each of those verses, if you keep listening to it, you will be amazed by the depth of that understanding of spiritual life and completely free yourself from the material identification with the body. And when you start seeing that these are the problems in front of me, stopping me from realizing the self. If you look into one of those chapters in the middle, where Prabhupada mentions this, but Prabhupada puts it like this, he says there, I'm trying to see where it was in one chapter I saw, Prabhupada mentions there that if you look into text 42 in the 4th chapter, I just picked up that verse because Prabhupada felt the need to stress that in that chapter. If you look in the purport, he will say there, last verse. The chapter is titled Transcendental Knowledge. Transcendental knowledge is the topic discussed in that chapter, the fourth chapter. chapter 4, verse 42, the very last verse. There, Prabhupada is saying that it's a long purport for over a page. I'll go into that. It talks about the let's read it this way. The yoga system instructed in this chapter is called Sanatana Yoga, or eternal activities performed by the living entity. This yoga has two divisions of sacrificial actions. One is called sacrifice of one's own material possessions, and the other is called knowledge of the self, which is pure spiritual activity. So there, again, Prabhupada is talking about karmam, and the other one is jnanam. Karmam means this sacrifice of one's material possessions, which is karma yogam, in other words. And the other part is referring to jnana yogam. So karma yogam and jnana yogam is what Prabhupada is referring to there. And then he discusses that if one is not, material possession is not dovetailed for spiritual realization, then such sacrifice becomes material. And he keeps saying that when you object with spiritual objective, if he performs that, it makes a perfect sacrifice. Then he says we come to spiritual advice, activities, we find that these are also divided into two, namely understanding of one's own self and the truth regarding the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That one who follows the path of the Gita, it is as it is, can very easily understand these two important divisions of spiritual knowledge. Which are they? This knowledge of karmam and the knowledge of jnanam. And the jnanam. Karma margam and jnanam margam. So for him, there is no difficulty in obtaining perfect knowledge of the self as part and parcel of the Lord. Prabhupada goes on to say, you can read all this at your own convenience. I will not go into each and every sentence. But later on, you can see a few lines later, he says, all of these are known as sacrifice and all of them are based on regulated action. Do you see that line there? All of them are known as sacrifice and all of them are based in regulated action. Then he says, which is the most important one, within all these activities, the important factor is self-realization. Is it not? You see that? So, self-realization is the most important factor in all these things. We may think in different way. People have given different stress on different things at different times. Isn't it? We have understood in different ways. But this self-realization is the most important factor. Prabhupada explains that within all these activities, the important factor is self-realization. One who seeks that objective is the real student of Bhagavad Gita. But one who doubts the authority of Krishna falls back. One who doubts the authority of Krishna falls back. In other words, Krishna is so kind, the acharyas are so kind, that they have given us everything. They tell us, you read this book, Bhagavad Gita. You think about it and you come to your own conclusions. That is how they leave us. They are telling us, you study this Bhagavad Gita, you think about it. If you can't accept it, then we have to leave you. We can't do anything for you. That's their answer. They don't force it on us. It is not a threat. It is not any kind of pressure on us. All Krishna says, Arjuna, this is a situation with each and every one of us in this world. If you accept it, and if you take interest in this, what I have spoken to you, Krishna says to Arjuna, you will get immense benefit from that. Because this is the truth. There is no other truth higher than this. That you will understand when you come through these next 6 chapters. Particularly from after 12 chapters onwards, 13 to 18. So there we are seeing Krishna has taken a special effort to make us understand what actually is the problem in self-realization. People are asking, I've studied, read Bhagavad Gita, but nothing has happened. They say like that, isn't it? They say nothing is happening. We have spent a lot of time, we have chanted a lot, we have done a lot of service, we raised a lot of funds, we did this, we did that. Everything we have done, but nothing has happened, they're saying. So why has it not happened? These 6 chapters will answer that question. That is the answer is there. That's why it's important. So when you feel down in spiritual life, if you study these six chapters, they will open up our eyes that there is a big hurdle in front of us. That is Gunatraya Vibhaga Yogam, divine and demonic nature. And then Krishna talks to us about what is known as Shraddhatraya Vibhaga Yogam, which is the divisions of faith. How each one of us, in our own level, is understanding Krishna consciousness. Everybody understands Krishna consciousness in a particular level. They understand Krishna consciousness. So, one thing more interesting than anything else is, in Krishna's words, there is not sectarian way. Everything is for the whole creation. For the whole creation. The knowledge for the whole creation. Anyone, anywhere in the world, who is serious about spiritual life, for him, sufficient food is there in the Bhagavad Gita to think about. And to accept, if he is willing to go along with it and accept it, then it is the doors are open for self-realization. So I just wanted to say this in the beginning, because from now onwards, each of these chapters is full of Krishna's subtle explanations of our subtleties of our life, which we don't hear anywhere, anytime spoken. Nobody discusses this. Everybody talks about the body and nothing but the body. Whereas Krishna doesn't want to talk about the body, only want to talk about the soul and the soul's engagement, or soul's how it is engaged or caged inside this body, and what is the way to free ourselves from this bondage or what the cage where we are in. So that is this next 6-7 chapters from 13th onwards. So we'll go into that slowly after the 11th and the 12th chapter. But it is so important. I'll keep repeating this again and again, that if we don't take it seriously, Bhagavad Gita will remain as a mystery to us. Like many, many great personalities, they have said, Bhagavad Gita is a mysterious book. They say, why they say mysterious? Because they are not getting into it. They're not getting that message inside what Krishna is saying there. It all looks on a superficial level, on a surface, the thing that they are expecting from Krishna some kind of instruction which will just, you do like this and everything will be okay. But Krishna doesn't believe in that. Krishna believes in one thing, unlike everybody else. Krishna's way is, he convinces you first. And if you are convinced, Krishna says, you take it. Because Krishna knows if you are not convinced, you are not going to do it. This is the most important thing, isn't it? If you are not convinced about something, that is the very principle on which Bhagavad Gita is spoken. That's why in the very beginning Krishna says that Vyavasayalpiya Buddhi Ekeha Kurunandana. He says that Vyavasayalpiya Buddhi comes from where? From your Shraddha. That is why at the very end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna decided to speak about this Shraddha in detail. And from Shraddha, Krishna says the conviction will come. When conviction comes, Krishna is fully confident that without anybody telling you, you will fall into Bhagavad Gita. You will be completely captured by the Bhagavad Gita's beauty. And that is the last six chapters in the Bhagavad Gita, which we will discuss in due course as and when time allows and situation is favorable. So, we'll go back now to the 11th chapter where we stopped last time. Verse 32, isn't it? That's where we stopped. Kalosmi loga kshegal pravardaha logan samahartamiha pravartaha hridevitvanna bhavishyandi sarve yavastida pratyanikeshu yothaha tasmattam uttishtayishu illabhasva jitva shantrun dhunksharajam samardham maye vede nihida purameva nimittamatram bhavasavyasachin. Do you remember what we discussed before? I'm sure you do. That what we talked about, that verses, we talked a lot about it. You remember that you cannot leave Bhagavad Gita any day. Every day you have to take Bhagavad Gita and read some verses from there. Otherwise you will lose the connection with Bhagavad Gita. And it is a lamp that once it gets in, you have to keep burning that lamp. Otherwise it is knowledge. It is bhakti. Nothing is missing there. It's karmam. Everything is there. So, what we were discussing last time was Karosmi Loga Kshegal Pravarda Shri Bhagavan Vacha. If you look into verse 32, that's where we stopped. What did we say at that time? we mentioned certain things. What was that? First thing was that we talked about, if you remember, that was the month ago or so, that we have two different scenarios in Bhagavatam. Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam is not different actually. We make it for our convenience to two different books. The message is the same. What is in the Bhagavad Gita, what is in the Srimad Bhagavatam is not different. One who has studied Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam very well, he will notice that there is no difference between Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. What Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita is the same what Krishna has spoken to Uddhava in the Bhagavatam, as well as what Sukadeva Goswami has spoken in the Bhagavatam to through other great devotees like Kunti Devi, Bhishma. These are all personalities who are jnanis, who are great devotees as well as jnanis, isn't it? And when Sukadeva Goswami talks about any personality in the Bhagavatam, he would look at them from the viewpoint of the judgment of the sages. Judgment of the sages. That's the way Sukadeva Goswami looks at everybody. I don't know whether you have noticed, if you get into little bit into Sukadeva Goswami's way of thinking, you will observe that he will always evaluate people and he won't let anyone go from that. He won't allow anybody. He will have no hesitation in evaluating anyone, including Lord Ramchandra is evaluated in the Bhagavatam. Have you noticed that? He was evaluated, Ramchandra, in the Bhagavatam. You know what he said? You will be shocked what he said about Ramchandra. Sukadeva Goswami can say that. He says, Stri Sanginam Gadimiti Pradhayam Chacharam. There is a statement in the Bhagavatam that if you are attached to, he's talking about Ramachandra's state. Ramachandra is okay, his personality of Godhead and everything, that's fine. But if he comes to this world, Sukadeva Goswami is saying, Stri Sanginam Gadimiti Pradhayam Chacharam. He says, if he is attached to women, then he has to face the music at the end. This is what he says about Ramchandra. Ramchandra was wandering around after Sita Devi left and in the forest, and he was in a pretty miserable state. So Sukadeva Goswami says, I have no feelings for him because he is attached. What can you do? He says. He has to suffer. He says about Ramchandra. Without any hesitation, he made this comment about Ramchandra. In the Bhagavatam, you can read that. Sri Sanginam Gadimidi Pradhayam Chachara. So, why? Because Sukadeva Goswami has not fallen into this kind of problems like Ramchandra has fallen into. So, without any mercy, he made this very cutting remark on Ramchandra in the Bhagavatam. Why is that? Because the sages, Ramchandra was here and Ramchandra has to play that role, and in that role, the departure, Sita's departure and the suffering what Ramchandra was. Sukadeva Goswami is telling us that even if Ramchandra comes, he has to suffer. Then he is asking us, if this can happen to Ramchandra, what about you, Lord? He says, pointing out to us. He says, you, Lord, if you are suffering, is there any surprise in this world? He says, if Ramchandra has to go through this, then where is the what exception have you got from these miseries of this world? So, a lot of things in the Bhagavatam, you will notice that it's not much different from the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. It's one and the same book. It's spoken in a two different personalities, spoken two different times, but the message is exactly the same. So, we are discussing this, and we saw there also that you can see how the gopis as well as the wives of the brahmanas. That is what we stopped last time. So, and we noticed there that the wives of the brahmanas, they were on one platform, one level, their relationship with Krishna. Gopis were in another level, their relationship with Krishna. Gopis received more mercy from Krishna. Why? Because they needed that than the wives of the brahmanas. The wives of the brahmanas, they were very enlightened people. They were knowledgeable. And they knew what is the right thing to do in life. Gopis had no clue what they had to do. Krishna had to attract them first and then give the knowledge of the soul to them and bring them out of that state of life what they were leading to Krishna consciousness, pure Krishna consciousness. Whatever it is, the important thing is that you will notice there that Krishna says there that that spiritual rise and realization, for when the wise of the Brahmanas came to see Krishna, everything was finished in a moment. The whole business was over. All they had to come, Krishna says to them, you go back, everything will be okay. They all went back to the spiritual world later. But with the gopis, Krishna had to stay with them for practically 12 years before Krishna left Vrindavanam and went to Mathura. Till that time, through various pastimes and through various dealings with the gopis, Krishna stole their heart. And that is that Bhagavatam, so many first part of the 10th canto is all in relationship with the gopis and Krishna's pastimes. So, knowledge of the soul, in one level, it is the most easiest thing. It's the easiest thing. At the same time, it's the most difficult thing. It's the most difficult. Why is it spoken like that? The reason is, normally, through our intelligence, we try to understand everything, isn't it? So, and because it is, we have got used to this, that my intelligence and my effort, we also bring that into spiritual life also. Is it not? In spiritual life, what do? We also think that, oh, I will chant now 16 rounds. Maybe when I get a little older, I'll chant 64 rounds. And then when I'm retired or fully prepared, I will chant 192 rounds and then go to Vrindavan. In everywhere is dependent on my effort. I'm thinking through my effort, I will achieve that. And that is the problem. And that is the problem. And on the other hand, what Krishna is expecting is surrender. He's expecting is the surrender, Sharanagati. Sharanagati doesn't happen completely depending on our effort and ability. We continue in spiritual life. And that is why it is the most difficult thing. And if you surrender completely to Krishna's will and Krishna's desire and leave everything, hand over to Krishna, and therefore it is the most easiest thing. It's called the easiest thing because simply by surrendering, everything happens in spiritual life. All the realizations comes. And on the other hand, it's the most difficult thing because this buddhi inside and the mind inside, it will continue to operate all along through our life in this world, telling us all the time. Mind will tell you, no, don't waste your time in all this spiritual life. It's all waste of time. A lot of people are enjoying life in this world. Why you want to give up all this happiness of this, you live only once and you got this body, enjoy yourself. Mind will guide you in that way. Intelligence will tell you, look, I think that this is what I should be doing. I should be increasing my sadhana, I should be doing this, I should be doing that. So in other words, all the stress is on my effort, my sadhana and my intelligence and my mind will decide everything, what should be. Unfortunately, in spiritual life, it doesn't work like that. There, it is surrender that matters. That's what we were saying like this. In one level, it's the most difficult thing. And in another level, it's the easiest thing, spiritual life. And that is why knowledge of the soul, why it requires that. Like everything else, you can acquire in this world through effort, isn't it? You can become an engineer. Or you can become a lawyer or a doctor or any professional or a prime minister, president, whatever you want, through effort you can make it. Is it not? And you can make a lot of wealth through effort. If you are lucky enough, you may make a lot of, you may create a lot of wealth either. Even if you want to become a terrorist or anything, you can become a terrorist also. So everything with effort is possible. But it is only in the spiritual life, it's not possible with effort. This is first factor we have to. And we have to accept that without any questioning. If you are not still convinced that, you may ask the question, then why we have to do so many things in spiritual life? Actually, in spiritual life, there is nothing to be done. It's a question of, because we have this karma vasana inside, and so that we don't go out of control and do a lot of other nonsense, therefore, the acharyas have set up all these different anushtanam or nishta processes for us to engage us somehow so that we don't go out of the track of dharma. That's the only reason for that. But if there is complete surrender to Krishna, nothing will come on the way to stop in realizing the truth, in realizing the self. This is the principle. So, So, as we said before, that when you come to the spiritual life, when you come to the spiritual life, effort is not the most important thing. Effort is not the most important thing. Normally in karmi life, that is how we think about it, isn't it? Effort, everything. How much I have done, what the result is from there. This we got used to that thinking for a very, very long period of time in this life, and therefore it's become very difficult to come out of that concept. That we input into it, the output should be there from that. That concept is very strong in our mind. But that has to get out of the mind. It has to go away from inside. Here, putting effort is not important. At the same time, not putting the effort is also not important. What is important then? You have to ask the question, who is putting the effort? That is self-realization. That is realizing the self. Then if we move away from putting the effort and not putting the effort, rather absorbed in the thoughts that... So that is where Krishna says to Arjuna, so question will come, Krishna says to Arjuna, that if everything is decided, what is going to happen, then what's the point in me doing any work? This question will naturally, and that is what Krishna is going to talk about in the next two verses. So the answer to that, because when up to this time in the universal form, when Arjuna saw the universal form, Arjuna started realizing his position in relationship with Krishna. Krishna's universal form actually frightened Arjuna, isn't it? We mentioned that before. Arjuna was frightened seeing. Why did he get frightened? Because he himself saw what he is in relationship with the universal form is a very tiny, tiny person, Arjuna is, and when he saw that, the whole Mahabharata war was over in the universal form itself. Bhishma was going in, Drona was going in, Karna was going in, everyone was getting killed, swallowed in by the universal form. So Arjuna started thinking, if everything is decided like this, what is the value of my effort then? Is there any value to it? So everything is already decided, it looks like that, he said. So in answer to that, Krishna is saying here, these two verses which we spoke about, they are important verses. Kalosmi loga kshegral pravardaha logan samahartumiha pravartaha hridevitvanna bhavishyanti sarve yavastida pratyanikeshu yodhaham tasmatvam uttishtaya sholabhasva jitva shantrun bhungshirajyam samardham maye vede dhida purvamevam nimitta matram bhava savyasachin. Krishna has used some particularly interesting words there while addressing Arjuna. If you ask this question, Krishna is saying, that if everything is already decided, what's the meaning of all these things, then in that case, whole Bhagavad Gita can go wrong. It's no use. If everything is already decided, what do we need the Bhagavad Gita for? That question will come, isn't it? If everything is already decided, because Arjuna got this impression after seeing the universal form, Krishna is saying to Arjuna, Arjuna, everything is decided. They are all going to be killed. They are already killed, he says. And Arjuna started thinking, if everything is already decided, then what am I supposed to, why do I have to do anything? I don't need to do anything. Everything is already settled, isn't it? So, that is just then that Krishna is saying to him, that actually, Arjuna, it is like this. This Bhishma, Drona and others, I have already killed them and I am keeping them standing there. And they also know that they have been killed. They also know. It may be amazing, this words from Krishna, isn't it? That Drona and Bhishma is standing there and Krishna is saying to Arjuna, they have already been killed and they also know that they have been killed. War hasn't started yet. This Bhagavad Gita and this Mahabharata war is a very interesting thing. It's not just a war like any other war. It has got a lot of message in there. Vedavyasa Maharshi wants us to understand that. That is why these things we have to study as much in depth as possible. Simply reading it as a historical book and taking the translation purport and saying that I have understood everything doesn't mean anything actually. So, he says here, Krishna says, they've also been killed, he says. So Arjuna started thinking, what is he saying? It's already, Drona and Bhishma has already been killed. But it is not Krishna who is saying that. It's Bhishma is saying that we have been killed. We know that, he says. If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see in the first canto, when Krishna was getting Bhishma, you know Bhishma was leaving the body, isn't it? Bhishma was leaving the body. On the 58th day of the war, Bhishma left the body. 18 days the war happened. Then another 40 days, Bhishma was lying on the bed of arrows. And Bhishma was waiting to see Krishna before leaving the body. And at the same time, in the palace, war was over, Yudhishthira Maharaj has become the king. And Yudhishthira started getting disturbed in his mind because the number of people who got killed in the war is millions and millions of people. Some people say it's 6.4 million, some people say 640 million, I don't know. Whatever it is, a huge number of people got killed in the war. Yudhishthira felt very guilty about the war. It has all happened because of me. He started thinking like that. Because of me, this great war is... And what did I gain from this? Nothing. Everybody has gone. Their family, isn't it? Kauravas and the Pandavas, they are actually from the same Puru's race. They come. And in this family quarrel between Kauravas and the Pandavas, so many people got killed. And Yudhishthira was reflecting on the war and thinking that, what did I gain from this war? And he was very, very disturbed over it. So initially, he wouldn't say anything to anybody. He became very silent after the war. Very silent. And Arjuna and Bhima noticed this change in Yudhishthira. That he is becoming very withdrawn. Withdrawal symptoms he had. He became very withdrawn and won't say anything to anybody. So Arjuna went to Yudhishthira and asked him, elder brother, isn't he? Eldest brother. Asked him, why are you so quiet? This is the time we should be happy that the war is over now. Yudhishthira wouldn't answer anything. Kept quiet. Bhima went up to him and spoke to him the same way. He wouldn't answer Bhima either. So they noticed this change happening in Yudhishthira's nature. Day by day it was getting worse. Krishna was also in the palace. Krishna has also observed that. A change. Krishna knew what was going on in Yudhishthira's mind. Krishna didn't say one word, thought that over a period of time it will go away from him. The distress will leave him. But didn't. It didn't happen that way. So, as days passed on, he started speaking things openly. He started getting upset with Krishna. He said to Bhima and Arjuna, the whole problem is that Krishna, he said. It is he who has caused all this problem. We sent him to negotiate and to come to some settlement. Instead, he was very clear in his head that he wanted to have this war. So we selected the wrong person to negotiate with the Kauravas. This was so Bhima and Arjuna says to Yudhishthira, my dear brother, please don't speak like this. Without him we wouldn't be here today. We got through this war only because of him. And now if we talk like this, at that time he will burst out completely, Yudhishthira, and he will openly, loudly shout against Krishna, saying that it's all because of him only. We sent him, but he didn't do a good job. On the other hand, he wanted to have this war. He has been working for this right from the beginning. And all the accusations went against Krishna. So, what happened then? It was then that Vedavyasa Maharshi was in the palace that time. Dhaumya was there. This is all in the Mahabharata. You will see this in detail. And they said to Bhima and Arjuna that perhaps it may be wise to speak Bhagavad Gita to Yudhishthira. If he hears Bhagavad Gita, because in the battlefield in Kurukshetram, when Arjuna was in a very disturbed and depressed state, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita and brought him back into life, isn't it? So similarly now that, Yudhishthira is in the same distress, maybe Bhagavad Gita will be the right medicine for him to help. So Krishna, they went and told Krishna, why don't you speak Bhagavad Gita? By now, the conversation has become a little bit more louder in the palace. And Bhima and Arjuna had spoken to Krishna and said to Krishna that our brother is not in a proper, in his proper sense. He's talking against everything, against you, against every one of us who fought the war and all that. Krishna says, there's nothing I can do about it, he said. So they said, why not talk Bhagavad Gita to him? Maybe it will help. Krishna says, I don't know whether Bhagavad Gita will help him. That was his answer. I don't know whether Bhagavad Gita will help him. But since you all insist, I'll talk to him from Bhagavad Gita. And he spoke Bhagavad Gita to Yudhishthira in the palace, in the presence of all the Pandavas, Kunti Devi, Vedavyasa Maharshi, Dhaumya, and many other great sages. And our Yudhishthira Maharaj sat there, listened to it, and started snoring. He couldn't hear anything from the Bhagavad Gita. He was in that state of mind. Because already he has decided that Krishna is the cause of all the problems. So what is the point in hearing from him? In that mood, if you hear Bhagavad Gita, it won't have any effect. If you start thinking Krishna is the whole problem in this world, and if you read Krishna's Bhagavad Gita, it won't have any benefit, would it? So here what happened was, it was, of course, it was Krishna's plan that it should happen in this way. Krishna had a different plan. That is why Vedavyasa Maharshi says, he says in the Bhagavatam that verses are important. He says, mentions there at that point, when Krishna wanted to go and get everybody together, he wanted to get everybody together. And after Bhagavad Gita he spoke, he asked Yudhishthira, what do you think now? What I have spoken, does it make any sense to you? Yudhishthira says no. He wouldn't accept anything what Krishna says. So then Krishna realized, he said, Yudhishthira won't accept me. Yudhishthira won't accept anybody else here. If Bhishma tells him, will he accept it? Because Bhishma is great-grandfather. And Yudhishthira naturally had a great respect and bhakti, devotion towards Bhishma. He kept in a very high status, isn't it? So when Krishna mentioned Bhishma's name, Yudhishthira says, you were very expert in getting him killed first, weren't you? He said. You are the first one who has taken all the initiative to kill Bhishma first, knowing very well that he is your big problem. Where is Bhishma now? He says to Krishna. Krishna says, he has not gone yet. He is still there, lying there, ready to go. So if you hear from him, will you accept what he says? It is then that all the Pandavas, Kunti Devi, and Yudhishthira and Krishna, everybody together, goes to see Bhishma, who is ready to leave the body. It was Krishna's arrangement. In the Bhishma Sudhi, you will notice that how that arrangement was very engineered by Krishna in a very subtle level. And they all went there. They all stood around Bhishma. Bhishma was going to leave the body. And when he was going to leave this body, he told Krishna, Krishna stood there and says to Yudhishthira, Yudhishthira, if you have any questions, would you please ask Bhishma and see what he has got to say? Up to that point, Yudhishthira did not understand who Krishna was. Properly didn't understand. So it was an opportunity Krishna has created for Bhishma to speak to Yudhishthira what the situation is, what is the reality is. And that is what that it's referred here in the Bhagavad Gita, that Bhishma and Drona was already killed and Bhishma knew about it, that he is killed. How do we know? When Bhishma saw Krishna with all the Pandavas there, and Bhishma started speaking, he says there in his prayers to Krishna, I know that I am dead, I am finished. The moment you got up in the chariot and looked at us, I understood that it's all over. That look was sufficient. Yeah. That look was just sufficient, I got the message. Do you know why? Both Bhishma and Drona are great realized soul. Jnanis they are. They know. Jnani's eyes are such. Krishna is a jnani also. Isn't it? Jnanis know another jnani's looks. They immediately understood that the life is over. It is all over. They understood. That is why it is mentioned there. Kalosmi loga chagral pravardaha logan samahartumiha pravartaha kridevitvanna bhavishyandi sarve evastida pratyanikeshu yodhaha. So, if you look into Bhishma Sthuti, that is the chapter which is the after, it is the ninth chapter in the first canto in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see there what he mentions, where it is spoken like this. Then he says like this, then the day the war started, I was killed, he says. When the war started, that day it was itself, I was killed. How is that? Bhishma is a jnani. He has knowledge. He says, you don't have to teach Bhishma Bhagavad Gita. He knows Bhagavad Gita, what Bhagavad Gita is talking about. So, so he says to Krishna is saying to Arjuna, Nihidaha. So, Nihidaha Puramaiva. That is the verse in the two verses, you see. That is what those two words are talking about in that verse. Kalosmi loga kshegral pravurdhaha logan samahartum iha pravurtaha krade vidvan abhavishyande sarve yavastida pratyanikeshu yodha. Then here you will see there that kalosmi loga kshegral pravurdho logan samahartum iha pravurta krade vidvan abhavishyande sarve yavastida pratyanikeshu yodha. So I am the, Krishna is saying, I am destroyer of the worlds and I have come to engage all people. With the exception of you, the Pandavas, all the soldiers here on both sides will be slain. Will be slain. This is a declaration in the battlefield at the time when this was spoken. So, all these people, Bhishma, Drona and Karna, Kripa, they are all finished. They are all finished. And in the Bhagavatam, Bhishma is saying here that this is Bhishma's words. He says, he brought Yudhishthira Maharaj and kept him in front of Bhishma and told Bhishma like this, you are a personality who has studied dharmam a lot, isn't it? You know dharmam very well, because in the Mahabharatam, if you look, you will see a very, very large part of Mahabharatam is talking about dharma. And all of that dharma is coming through Bhishma. Bhishma talks about that dharma. Dharma is spoken by Bhishma. What all he talks about? Dharma of the Brahmachari, Grahastha Dharma, Vanaprastha Dharma, Sannyasa Dharma, Stri Dharma, Purusha Dharma, Brahmana Dharma, Kshatriya Dharma, Vaishya Dharma, Shudra Dharma, Raja Dharma. Endlessly he talks about Dharma there. So Krishna in a sort of way, making a little bit joke about it, saying to Bhishma, you are an authority of Dharma, aren't you? He says to Bhishma. And he says to Bhishma that why don't you talk about Dharma to now our great friend Yudhishthira who is standing here. He wants to hear from you Dharma. He wants to hear from you, Dharma. Krishna respects Bhishma's knowledge of Dharma because Krishna quotes Bhishma in the Srimad Bhagavatam while talking about Dharma. It is Bhishma who is quoted in the Bhagavatam by Krishna as authority on Dharma. That you will see in the Agadashi Skandam. Bhishma is quoted in Dharma. So here he says here, so give some instructions on Dharma to Yudhishthira Maharaj, he says. So, and there, he talked about that dharmam, the principle of dharmam, and at the end of that, he concludes this like this. Vavahida pradana amukham niriksha svajanavadhad vimukhasya dosha buddhyam kumadi mahar alpavidyayaya charanaradi paramasya tasya mestu. This is in the 9th chapter, verse 36, in the first canto. The connection between Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Here, Vavahida Buddhana Amrakham Nirishyam स्वजनवधाद्विमुखस्य दोषबुद्ध्या अर्जुन व्यवहितपथनामुखं निरीक्ष्य. अर्जुन व्हेन ही केम टू द बैटल फील्ड ही सॉ ऑल दोज पीपल हू आर स्टैंडिंग इन फ्रंट ऑफ हिम ऑल हिज फ्रेंड्स एंड रिलेटिव्स एंड ऑल दोज हू आर वेरी क्लोज टू हिम स्टैंडिंग देयर. स्वजनवधाद्विमुखस्य दोषबुद्ध्या because Arjuna did not have that realization of the soul, self-realization was not there in Arjuna, he could not kill any of them and he was hesitant to fight the war. That's what they're saying. Svajanavadhad vimukhasya dosha buddhya. He was refraining from engaging in the battle because of this attachment and lack of knowledge inside. That is how Bhishma mentions there. You see, Bhishma, that is the proof of that Bhishma is a jnani. Otherwise, he couldn't speak like that. He says, Vivahida Pradhanamukham Nirichya Svajanavadhad Vimukhasya Dosha Buddhya. That Arjuna was hesitant to fight the war. Why? Svajanavadhad Vimukhasya Dosha Buddhya. That he was hesitant. Oh, they are my people. Identification with the body, in other words. So Bhishma saw that. And he says, Kumati Mahad Atmavidyaya Charanaradi Paramasya Vasyamestu. At that point, who took Arjuna out of that ignorance and brought him to his spiritual identity or self-realization? Who did that? Krishna has done that. And who noticed this? Bhishma noticed that. Standing in the battlefield, he saw that Krishna is instructing Arjuna and bringing to the path of self-realization. That's what he did in the battlefield. That's why Bhishma noticed that. He heard what Krishna was saying to Arjuna and bringing him back, because Arjuna was like a soldier. He was hesitant at that point to kill all these people. He was feeling great difficulty, his own people. And he knew because of his goodness of the heart, whatever it may be. But spiritual realization, knowledge of the soul is superior to all this, isn't it? And that is what Krishna did there. And then Bhishma noticed that. And then what did he say? So nigamam abahayam. He says here that vavahidami. So nigamam abahayam alpradityam rdamari kartumava pladho rathastaha dridharada charano bhaya charadgur haririva handumivam gadotariya. So nigamam abahayam alpradityam rdamari kartumava pladho rathastaha. Then I've noticed something else Bhishma says there. That I have taken a decision. Krishna has taken a decision not to take any weapons in the battle. That was the word he has given. He won't engage in the battle directly himself. But so digamam agvahayam al pradityan, and I have taken the vow that I'll kill Arjuna. I'll force Krishna to take the weapon. I have taken the vow that I'll force Krishna to take the weapon. And Krishna has taken the vow that he will not take any weapon. And Krishna had to decide which one should come true. And the fact was that he actually honored me, that he proved my word true by taking the weapon himself, by Sudarshanam. And he jumped out of the chariot to kill Bhishma at one point, isn't it? When Arjuna was completely lost in the battle with Bhishma, Bhishma started firing arrows all over. Arjuna was bleeding and even Krishna started bleeding. At that time, Arjuna didn't know what to do with Bhishma, because seeing this old man so powerful in his fiery spirit, fighting spirit, they didn't know what to do. Neither Krishna nor Arjuna didn't know what to do. And Arjuna has taken this vow that I won't take the disc either, Sudarshana, in the hand. But Bhishma only wanted that somehow or the other, he has taken the vow that I will force Krishna to take the weapon. And he was fighting with that spirit. But he knew he will be gone, he'll die. Or he's dead. He was known about that. So then Krishna takes that weapon and jumps out. That's what he's saying here. Dridharada charano abhaya charal gur haririva handumivam gadotariya. When Krishna jumped out of the chariot with the disc in the hand, I'm not going to wait anymore, I'm going to finish this old man now. That's what Krishna says to Arjuna. I'm not going to tolerate this anymore. When he jumped out of the chariot. At that time, Uttariya means the second cloth, what Krishna had, that fell off. And Arjuna is running after Krishna. Imagine that scene within your own mind, how it was like, what it's like. Krishna is running towards Bhishma to kill the old man. He has taken the decision. No matter, I can't tolerate this anymore, because Arjuna has been hurt so badly that Krishna felt that it's finished. And Krishna himself started bleeding all over his body. Everywhere blood was coming out from Krishna's body also. And Krishna decided, now I'm not going to wait anymore, I'll finish him now. He jumped and he was running towards the chariot, Bhishma's chariot. Arjuna is running after Krishna to pull him back. He says, you have taken the vow not to take the weapon, but now you have taken the weapon and you are running after him. Don't do this. He said, your uttariyam has fallen, the second cloth has fallen. Arjuna has picked it up and running after Bhishma, running after Krishna to pull him back. It was then that Krishna sends immediately and pull back. But he has already taken the weapon. So in other words, he has honored Bhishma's words rather than his own words. A devotee's words is more important than his own words. Shita vishikahado vishirna damsham sharaja paripluda atata inomi prasabham abhisasara madhvadartham sabhavadume bhagavan gadirmukundam. He says here, Shita Vishikahado Vishirna Damsham Kshataja Paripludam Adadayinome. That we fired arrows so many, then the whole body was completely in pieces, tore into pieces. And Prasabham Abhisasaramadvadartham. But Krishna was so determined to kill me. I'm still seeing that in my mind. I'm seeing that scene. Who's saying? Bhishma is saying here, lying on this bed of arrows. He's saying that, I'm still seeing that day when he wanted to kill me. He says, he started coming to with the Sudarshan disc in the hand. Sabhavatu me Bhagavan Gedir Mukunda. I'm taking that shelter of that Supreme Lord Krishna. Krishna, Supreme Personality Godhead. Then, in three verses after that, after saying these three verses, in another three verses, there are three things about Krishna I will never forget, he says. Who says? Bhishma says, I will never forget these three things about Krishna. What are they? Three different incidents. When I knew who Krishna is, he says. Yudhishthira hasn't noticed all these things. Yudhishthira is still thinking Krishna is somebody superior. But Bhishma has understood who Krishna is long before that. And here in Bhishma's story, Bhishma's prayers to Krishna, because he is leaving the body, he is going back, isn't it? So he is saying to Yudhishthira, if you think that I don't know about Krishna, I'll tell you who he is, he says. If you think that I don't know about him, I'll tell you who he is. And in three verses, three different incidents in Bhishma's life, he noticed about Krishna and he says that to Yudhishthira. Because up to this point, Yudhishthira has not taken Krishna very seriously. He's still thinking, oh, he's our friend. My mother is Kunti Devi. Kunti Devi's brother, Vasudev. Vasudev's son is Krishna. We are related. Just like in relationships. Family relationships, how you treat Krishna. But Bhishma was not like that. That is the next three incidents he talks about in his own personal life, what he has understood about Krishna. Vijayarada kudumba mata totre drudahayareshmini tachriye chaniye bhagavadi radirastume mamurshor yamiha nirincha hata gadasurubam. Lalidagadi vilasa valguhasam pranaya nirikshana kalpidorumana kritam anukritavatyam unmadhanda prakriti magan kilayasya gopa vadhva muniganan rabavadya sangulande sadasa yudhishthira rajasuyam esham arkhanam uvavedam ikshaniyo mamadrishi gocharam esha aviralma. These are the three things. First instance that Krishna decided that he wants to save Arjuna from the battlefield. When I saw Krishna getting up from the chariot, I understood that it's over. There's nothing more I can do about it. That was the one incident I've seen. If he wants to save Arjuna, Krishna will go to any extent to do that. He'll go to any extent to protect Arjuna. I understood that at that point. At that time, the Krishna I saw is something I will never forget, he says. That form of Krishna at that moment, the mood of Krishna's mood at that time. That's one thing I'll never forget. That means in the Mahabharata war, when Arjuna was losing the battle, how Krishna brought him back to life with the knowledge to fight, and how helped Krishna Arjuna all the way through to kill all these great personalities like Bhishma, Drona and all that. They are acknowledging that they knew who Krishna is. Bhishmanyu, who? Krishna is. Second thing he says here, Lalitagati vilasaval guha sampranaya nirikshana kalpidorumanam kritamanukritavatyam unmadhandam prakritimagan kilayasya gopavadhva. In the rasa dance in Vrindavanam, how among the gopis, how Krishna danced with them. And how Krishna has told their heart, and all of them have become, Krishna has brought them to a very high state of self-realization. Because Bhishma is a great realized soul. He can talk that. He understands that what level gopis were at one time. And due to Krishna's association, what level they have got to. Bhishma is observing all these things. That is why he is saying these things here. He has understood that in Vrindavanam, when he spent these 8, 10, 12 years there, ordinary people like the gopis, they have been brought into state of self-realization. By Krishna's association. I have taken note of it. Who says this? Bhishma is saying there. Lalitagati vilasa valguhasam pranaya nirikshana kalpidorumanam kritamanu kritavatya unmadhandam prakritimagankilayasu gopavadhvaha. Why is Bhishma saying that? Why? Because self-realization is not an easy thing. We are talking about ordinary people like the gopis who had no spiritual education like the wives of the Brahmanas had. They had no spiritual education. They were ordinary people living in Brajam. They simply got attracted to Krishna by Krishna's beauty, Krishna's childish activities, isn't it? So how did they get attracted? Krishna pulled them towards him through his pastimes, isn't it? The 10th canto pastimes. The day it started from the day Krishna appeared in Gokulam. From then onwards, this process started. And by the time in 12 years, before Krishna went to Mathura and then onwards to Dwarka later on, but in these 12 years' time, simply by giving his satsangam association to gopis, they advanced spiritually so much, by the time Krishna left Vrindavanam, they were already in a liberated state. This change, what has happened to gopis, Bhishma has observed that. That's why he's saying that here. Lalitam, and that did not happen the way normally a person will advance spiritually by studying Shastram, practicing austerities and penances and sadhana and everything. That is how a person progresses in spiritual path. In gopis' case, nothing like that. Gopis has never chanted any round. Gopis has never done any deity worship. The only thing what you notice in the Bhagavadam, what gopis have done, is one Kartyayani Vratam, what they have done for about 41 days. And that too, just like a ritual they did, and they wanted to enjoy after that. Playing in the water, they wanted to have a... So, what I'm saying is that Lalitagati Vilasa Valguhasam, simply by Krishna's looks, Krishna's speech, Krishna's smile, exhibiting his beauty, personal beauty, bodily beauty, and speech, pranaya nirikshana kalpidorumanam, and his looks, gopis fell into it. Kritamanu kritavatyam unmadhandam prakriti magan kilayasya gopavadhvaha. All that gopis in Vrindavanam, they fell into that, and they all became advanced spiritually and became self-realized at the end. So that also I have noticed. Bhishma is saying this. So first thing, how Arjuna was protected in the battlefield by Krishna, then this incident in Vrindavanam. Krishna has taken note, Bhishma has taken note of all that. And lastly, Bhishma says, one more thing I have noticed about Krishna. In that Munigana Nrabhavarya Sankulendam Sadasi Yudhishthira Rajasuya Mesham, this big Rajasuya sacrifice which lasted 17 months and 17 days. One sacrifice lasted 17 months and 17 days it lasted. In that sacrifice, Munigana Nrabhavarya Sankulendam, all the great sages were present there in that sacrifice. All the great sages. If you look into the list, it's there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Who were all present there. All the great personalities. Great, great personalities, they were all present there. They come from the Tapolokam and Janalokam, Maharlokam and all. Personalities that come from Yudhishthira Maharaj, Rajasuya sacrifice. And that whole story we talked about in the Bhagavadam, Rajasuyam. Rajasuyam is famous. And in that Rajasuyam sacrifice, Yudhishthira Maharaj has asked Krishna to be the chief guest, Agrasana Puja, it's called. And he was worshipped and glorified and everything, and Yudhishthira was feeling happy about it. Munigana Nrubavarya Sangulande, all the Munigana, Munigana means all the great sages were present there. Sadasi Yudhishthira Raja Suyamesham. What happened there? There, he says, Arkhanam Ubamedam Ikshaniyo Mamadrashi Gojaramesha Aviralma. It is there that when Shishubala started abusing Krishna, Shishubala abused there, isn't it? In that. Then Krishna decided to finish up Shishubala. Took his disc and threw and killed Shishubala there. From Shishubala, his soul rose into the sky and came and merged into Krishna's lotus feet. The lotus feet of Krishna, Shishubala's soul went and merged into him. Seeing that, I understood who Krishna is. This is how Bhishma saw Krishna. It's an important thing in the Bhagavatam. So, why all this is spoken in the Bhagavatam? There is a reason behind it. That in the very beginning of Bhagavatam, Vedavyasa Maharshi wanted to tell us that if you want to die in this world, learn this from Bhishma. How to die? If you want to know that, read this 9th chapter of the 1st canto. How to leave this body in this world. That is the message from that. How do we know that? When Bhishma left his body, after that, after saying all these verses, he glorified Krishna and he looked at Krishna's face. Krishna smiled. Seeing that Bhishma's realization, he was satisfied with. Krishna was satisfied. And Krishna given the permission to go. To Bhishma to go. Bhishma was a jnani and he was a yogi as well. That is why he merges into Krishna. You will see that in the Bhagavad. Sondashwasa Uparamad, it says. He has no relationship in the Golokam or anywhere. He is in a jnani's position, he is. Sondashwasa Uparamad. That he absorbs himself in the knowledge of the Brahman and that realization has happened to him. He is a jnani as well as a yogi. And he's also a devotee. We can't separate these things out in people. It's all there in everybody. An element of yoga will be there, element of jnana will be there, element of bhakti will be there in all the great personalities. So Bhishma left his body and gone away. After Bhishma left this world, all the great sages who had come for this meeting, they were leaving. They were leaving. They were going back. When they were going back, they were talking to each other. They were talking to each other. Just like when we go for a feast or a festival, what happens? When we come back from the festival, we'll talk about everything what happened there, isn't it? How good the feast was. We talk about it, isn't it? We'll talk. The feast was good, we'll say. Or we'll say the feast was lousy. Some opinion, so everybody will mention something. We will even say that that preparation I liked it very much, and that the other one I didn't like it. I ate a lot of this and I'm going to get sick, I know, but still I've eaten it because it was so good. Something like that. We'll talk about the feast. People who are interested in food, they will talk about the feast. People who are interested in music, they will talk about the kirtan. They'll talk about the kirtan. The kirtan was very good. So such a kirtan was nice. Something like that. We'll talk about that. So different people have different taste. Some people have taste for Srimad Bhagavatam, they'll say, that was nice what we heard in Bhagavatam. Something like that. So, anyway, here Bhishma left his body. The sages were going back home. So, they were talking to each other. Vedavyasa Maharshi put that into Bhagavatam. What does he say? He says, if you look there, you will see. Sudha Goswami is saying this to Shaunak Rishi. If you look into verse 43 in chapter 9, he says, Krishna evam bhagavati manova drishti vrittibhi atmanyatmanam aveshya sondashvasam uparamad. That is the verse which refers to how Bhishma left his body. How did he leave? Krishna evam bhagavati. Looking at Krishna and knowing what his relationship with Krishna is. Manova drishti vrittibhi. His mind was completely in a transcendental state. Words, no words to speak. no chitavritti inside. The eyes were completely focused on Krishna. Atmanam aveshya. Atmani, Atmanam aveshya. Krishna is the soul. Individual soul has felt that relationship with the super soul, with Krishna. Atmani, Atmanam aveshya. Sondashwasam uparamat. He departed from this world. And because he was a yogi, he stopped breathing. He gave up, stopped the breathing. And Atma, he says, Sambadhyamana Majnaya Bhishma Brahmani Nishkale. Nishkala Brahmam. Nishkala Brahmam means the Brahmam realization has happened to him. Sarve Bhubuste Tushnim Vayam Sivadinathe. Bhishma's departure from this world is like that. And at that time, demigods have showered the flowers on Bhishma's body when he left this world. And then he says here, Tushta Urmanayo Hrishtam. All who were present there, they felt very happy. Who came for this, who came for Bhishma's departure. How did they arrive? Krishna has prompted everyone to come there at that time. All the great personalities were present when Bhishma left this world. And in front of all of them, Bhishma was able to glorify Krishna very well. And when all of them were present, Krishna himself present, Bhishma was able to leave this world. Normally, when somebody leaves this world, we go to Krishna before we leave the world. We want to go and see Krishna somewhere at the temple or somewhere. We want to hear about Krishna, go to Krishna to see somewhere. But in Bhishma's case, Krishna comes to Bhishma. It's the other way. So that is the position where Bhishma is. So seeing this, the sages are saying to each other, if we have to die in this world, this is the way we should die. Like the way Bhishma died. That is a Tushtavurmanayo Hrishta Krishnam Dad Guhyanamabhi. They were talking about this all the way through when they were leaving, and they were chanting Krishna's holy name also. Tadaste Krishna Hridaya Swashrama Anprayayu Punaha. Tadaste Krishna Hridaya. What is that? It means keeping Krishna in the heart in full. Swashrama Uprayayu Punaha. They were going back to their ashram. All these sages were going back to their ashramas or their places wherever they came from. So they're going back to them. So, here, Bhishma, coming back to this verse, Bhishma is saying here, I remember that incident, I have not forgotten. This is all in the Bhishma Stuti. If you read, you will see there. I have not forgotten. And I remember that form, he says here, that when the war started, the Kauravas were on one side, the Pandavas were on the other side. The war just started. Arjuna says to Krishna, bring the chariot and park in the middle, he says. You know that in the Bhagavad Gita, he says there. So at that point, what was Arjuna's understanding of Krishna? He's just my chauffeur or car driver. That's how he is seeing him. He's saying to him, Senayor Bhayor Madhya Ratham Sthavayam Achyuta, he says. You know, can you take the chariot and park it right in the middle of the both the army? Who is saying this? Arjuna is saying this to Krishna. Just like suppose you have got a driver by name Achyuta, what will you tell him? Achyuta, can you bring the car? You will say like that, isn't it? In the same way, Krishna, Arjuna is saying to Krishna, Senayor Bhayor Madhya Ratham Sthavayam Achyuta. Arjuna, can you... At that time, Arjuna is thinking that it is me who is going to decide the victory in this war. I'm going to do the... I have to fight because he's a key fighter in that group, isn't it? They're all dependent on Arjuna to win that war. So, so Krishna didn't say one word when Arjuna said this, when Arjuna said that. So, Krishna's attitude is, alright, if that's how he wants me to be, I will be like that. But I won't give any, there's no point in instructing him anything at this stage, the way he is at the moment. Full of ego inside, thinking that he's running the show. So, at this point, if it is like a driver, Krishna has to add. If Arjuna says, open the door for me, he has to open the door. And if you tell him to drive the chariot, he has to drive the chariot. If he tells you stop the chariot, he has to stop the chariot. This is the situation. So anyway, as soon as Arjuna said this, Krishna brought the chariot and stopped. Bhishma, Drona, Pramukha. One side it is Bhishma and the other side it was Drona also. And only one thing he did there, when the chariot was parked, he got up from the chariot and stood there. Krishna stood there. Then keeping both the hands on the hips, he looked at Bhishma. One look. Bhishma says that I've understood. It's all over. He says that look made me understand. It's over. Just see, Bhishma is a jnani. He knows. When Krishna looked at Bhishma, Bhishma understood it's over. The war is over, he says there. He says, and Bhishma says there, I understood that I am finished. And then after looking at me, he looked at Drona. The next look was at Drona. And Drona is also a jnani. He also understood the war is over. The war is over. Because that is how, if Krishna wants to get a message through, he just has to look. That's sufficient. The message will be through. It has happened. So all this war and battle and all that is just a drama. After that, we thinking that, you see, sometimes devotees get into the details of the war. They want to find out how many days war happened, how many areas it has taken, and they go into the details of the war, they are more interested. What's more important here is, these are the scenes in the Mahabharata war which makes it more interesting. That Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna Himself, standing there, and that impact of Krishna's presence on everyone there. How Bhishma responded, how Drona responded to that. And everything, Parasainikayu Rishnakhadavadi Partha Sakhe Redirmamastu. You will see that Parasainikayu Rishnakhadavadi. How Krishna did that was, Krishna is looking at Bhishma once and then looking at Arjuna the next time. So in other words, the remaining lifespan of Bhishma was taken over and handed over to Arjuna. From Bhishma to Arjuna, from Drona to Arjuna. Bhishma says this, Parasainik ayur ashnakhritavadi partha sake redirmamastu. Krishna is saying there, Bhishma is saying there, I remember that and let my mind be attached to Krishna always. That is the devotee of Bhishma. Bhishma devotee. So here you can see, said, you will see there, when Yudhishthira Maharaj, after the war, when he cried and he was in that distressed state, that Vedavyasa Maharshi is saying there, that why do you get disturbed so much? Why do you get disturbed? What is the point in fact, the whole creation is in Krishna's hands. Krishna is playing that whatever he wants to do with this world and with all of us. Krishna will do what he wants to do. There's nothing you can do. Ishasthi vashe loko yosha darumayi yatha. We think we have independence. What independence have we got? We haven't got any independence. Krishna will do what he wants with us to do. Accepting that in life is the success of life. That is the point Vedavyasa is saying here. That surrender to Krishna will only happen when you accept these principles behind it. That Krishna's decision is irreversible. You can't change that. That decision is already made. How did he put that? He says to him, in the 13th chapter, if you will see, you will see there's a verse there. He says that Ma kanjana shucho rajan yadi shravajo jagavasham jagad logasabala yasyemi bhandi belimi shidu sasamyunakti bhudani sa evyunakti cham. So here it also mentions there that yasha darumai yada ishasahi vashe loko yasha darumai yatha. So nothing but that ishuravasham jagat loga sabala yasyami vahandi belimishitu. That this ma kanchana shucho rajan idi ishuravasham jagat loga sabala yasyami vahandi belimishitu na sa samyunakti bhudhani sa eva viyunakti cha. And practically, we are scapegoats in Krishna's hands. We have no freedom to do anything. And if Krishna decides that, just like the example is given, Ishasihe vashe logo yosha dharumai yatha. Just like puppets, wooden puppets with the strings attached to that. How he plays the string and the puppets has to dance according to that. We are also in the same situation in this world. If one has to fight the war, he has to fight the war. He has no choice. And if one has to sing a song, he has to sing the song. There's no choice in there. Whatever dress we have been given, we have to come here and play that role. There is no choice in that. That is what he is saying here. So you can't say that I won't play my role. If you don't play your role, he'll force you to play that role, what you have to play. And that is what Krishna is going to say in the next two verses. See, Bhagavad Gita's verses is pregnant with a lot of messages. What Krishna is doing with this world, with all of us, he says here, if you say you can't do it, that's what Krishna is saying here, that if you take the attitude, I won't play my role, I will stay away from everything else, it will create a problem for you. It will create a problem for you. But if you play your role with great happiness, Krishna has put me in this situation, I have no choice, I have no independence, I will surrender to what Krishna has put me into and accept that, that is bhakti. That is bhakti. Bhakti is not pulling from everything out and completely trying to go against what Krishna has put into that situation. And that is surrender. So, if you do that, Krishna is saying here, if you play your role happily, then it is the best, because you have to go anyway, one day from here. Why not leave this world with full happiness and satisfaction? Then, and if you have no problem in executing that work, then it's not a problem. It will not create any problem. Sometimes you will see in the children's book, there will be some very funny stories people write. It gives a lot of pleasure to the children. Very funny stories they write. A lot of these story writers. Just to humor the children. And they will get a lot of happiness from that. They won't look at the reality of the story. It's not important for them. For them, what is important is there some fun to enjoy the story? So if you look at one of the stories, you might have probably read this also. There is one person is just walking on a road. So he wanted to find out the way to the city. He was asking another man on the road, what's the way to get to the city? So this person says to him that because it's not very well signposted or anything, he says, look that long, there's a long, large tree standing there. If you go along with that, on the, to the top of the tree, in that way, if you go, there's another road there. You'll get there, he said. So this person who asked the question, he wasn't very clear about the way he was directed. So he just thought that there is on the top of the tree, you'll go there and then find the road from there. Something like that got into his head. So he climbed the tree. It's a children's story, it's not a real story or anything. Children like all these kind of stories, isn't it? If you write things like this, they will read it and they will get some fun out of it. So he climbed onto the tree and went up to the top of the tree looking for the road from there, which road he has to go. So so when he was holding, underneath that tree, there was a small river flowing underneath that tree. So by chance, a man came on an elephant. Sitting on an elephant, he came along that road and he was going underneath the tree. So the man who was standing on the top of the tree saw the elephant. And the man who was, what's called Mahout, isn't it? Mahout, isn't it? That's the word. Elephant keeper, who runs, keeps the elephant. He was sitting on the top of the elephant and they were going together. So he thought, he said, where is he going? He said, I'm going to the city, he said. The man on the top of the elephant asked this man, he's going to this, where are you going? He said, I'm going to the city, he says, and he's holding on to the tree at the top. So from the elephant, top of the elephant, he jumped on, held his leg, thinking that I also need to go to the to the city, he says, and he holds on to the leg of the man who is standing on the tree. So they are talking to each other, and they said that, how long will it take to get to the city? He says, it doesn't take very long, but meanwhile we'll sing a song, he said. So the man, the elephant keeper, sings the song. As stupid as the man who was standing there, he sings the song. As soon as the song was over, he started clapping to the one who was holding onto the tree. So what happens? Both fall into the... But he lost the grip on the tree where he was holding. They both fall into the tree. Both fall into the tree. And so what shall we do now? They say. They are talking to each other. What shall we do? You can't see anybody. And they kept on singing. And eventually they both arrived at the city in the river. They arrived in the city in the river. So they didn't stop the singing till they reached the city. And by chance, somebody in the city saw them drowning in the water and singing still. And so they managed to pull them out from the river. This is only one of these stories from there. Similarly, whatever happens in life, let anything happen in life, that if you are willing to take this life in that way, it will not cause any problems. So if that is how Krishna has decided, so be it. So let it be like that. That is surrender. In whatever situation one is put into, Krishna says this in the Bhagavad Gita. If you understand Bhagavad Gita properly, that is why. If you look into the 18th chapter, Krishna says there, Subhava Jaina Kaunteya, that Subhavam is coming from that. If you look at the 18th chapter, Bhagavad Gita's subtle messages will make us realize that something we think it is very important, and Krishna is saying there, that verse 60, if you look, Subhava Jaina Kaunteya Nibhadda Svena Karmana Kartumichasi Yan Mohat Kayishyasi Avop Avashopitad. Famous verse in the Bhagavad Gita. In the 18th chapter, Krishna is saying, Subhava Jaina Kaunteya Nibhadha Svena Karmana Kartum Nekchasi Yan Mohad Karishyasi Avashopitat. Yeah? Under illusion, you are now declining to act according to my direction. But compelled by your own nature, you will act all the same, O son of Kunti. Yeah? Svabhava Jaina Kaunteya, that is what is important. So that is what is Krishna is going to say in the next two verses. Svabhava Jaina Kaunteya Nibhadda Svena Karmana. We think we have a lot of freedom in this world, isn't it? We think we have a lot of freedom in this world. Krishna is saying, Svabhava Jaina Kaunteya Nibhadda Svena Karmana. You are actually bound by your own Svabhavam. Svabhavam is binding you. You will not escape from that very easily. Under illusion, you are now declining to act according to my direction, but compelled by your own nature, you will act all the same, he says. Krishna is so sure that whether he likes it or not, Arjuna is going to fight the war. Arjuna is going to fight the war. Similarly, all of us are acting in this world according to our Svabhavam. Svabhava Jaina Kaunteya. And if you think you can change your Svabhavam overnight like that, it's not going to happen. That's the point. It's not going to happen. Because you are pushed by that from inside. You are pushed by that from inside. So, here, Krishna says here, that if you think that you are not going to fight this war, you are the big stupid person. Very stupid. Fool, he says here. Because will you be able to stay without fighting the war? They will ask you, people are asking, you know, they say Krishna is a warmonger. Krishna made Arjuna to fight this war. It's not wrong what Krishna has done. People ask this question often. So, therefore, because Arjuna is meant to fight the war. Arjuna is meant to fight the war. You can't make Arjuna to sing a song. If you tell Arjuna, can you sing a nice song? Arjuna won't be able to do it. Because his vasana inside is to fight. He needs to fight. He can't be a musician. He can't be a musician. And with a gun you can only shoot. You can't play the veena with that. Can you? It's a gun that. Arjuna is a gun. Ajna is not a veena. Do you know what I'm saying? That the vasana inside that person is to fight. If you don't allow him to do that, he will not be able to do anything else. That is his nature. Arjuna was born as a Kshatriya. He has grew up as a Kshatriya. And even if you want to, he's a powerful Kshatriya. Even if you want to do something else, want him to do something else, you won't be able to get it done through him. And even if this fighting war was wrong, even if it is going to kill people, Arjuna's vasana inside, you can only get rid of it by forcing him, by engaging him in the fight. He has to fight. Otherwise that vasana won't go from inside. If you tell Arjuna, Arjuna, don't fight the war. You chant 16 rounds a day, sit here and only offer prasadam, only you take and stay. Arjuna won't be able to do it. Arjuna will say, I'm so sorry, I can't do it. He will say like that. He's not, because the vasana inside in that person is like that. So it is like this. You have to force Arjuna to fight. And Krishna is saying here, Arjuna, even that vasana is wrong, that it is going to create a lot of havoc. Fight this war with this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. That is the message in Krishna's words. Fight the war with the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. And if you fight the war in that way, you will get liberated. Otherwise, your vasana will not go. Your vasana will not go. Similarly, we all of us have different kinds of vasana inside. And that vasana is binding us in this world. We have come with that vasana inside and it has to go from us. And can you remove the vasana? That is not possible. It has to go through karma. Remember, we discussed this in Karma Yogam. All when we discussed karma, this was the main thing. How karma vasana, what is in a person, must get exhausted through action. And that is why Karma Yogam comes. Without creating new karma vasana, without creating new vasanas inside, releasing all the existing vasanas from inside through Karma Yogam is the process what Krishna has discussed in the 6 chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. To explain that to us, Krishna never said that overnight you can switch from one to another. You won't. You won't be able to do it. It's not possible. Why? Because the powerful vasanas inside won't allow us to do it. So that is why I said, Sabhava Jena Kaunteya. It's the very end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying this. So once it so happened, a cat wanted to improve his knowledge of the soul. Cat started thinking, I should become better. Every day I'm killing the rats and eating them. So let me become a little bit decent and vegetarian and cultured in my own way. So he thought about this very much. And the cat decided going to a sannyasi, asking him, how should I do that? So sannyasi went to an ashram and he asked this sannyasi about it. Sannyasi, he says to sannyasi, I want to improve myself. What should I do? Sannyasi said to him, to the cat, first thing, you should not eat this non-vegetarian food. That's the first thing you have to give up, he said. And so the cat said, what will I eat then? No, no, you come here every day. I'll give you the food. Nice rice, dal, chapati, sabjis, karela, okra, everything, whatever you want. First class food, I will give you vegetarian food. It will be a feast every day for you. Says cat said, all right, so I'll become a vegetarian. And then he kept on doing like this. But he was finding it difficult inside. That vasana inside was very strong. He wanted to have it. What is his food decided by the material nature? He wanted to have it. So one day he says that, I'm still feeling very strong urge inside. Is there any mantra you can give it to me, which I can chant every day, all the time, so that I won't eat any rats anymore? So sannyasi said, all right, I'll give you a mantra. You chant this all the time, then you won't eat any more rats after that. Naham bhakshaya moshigam. That was the mantra given. Naham bhakshaya moshigam. Moshigam is rats. I will not eat rat anymore. This is the mantra meaning. Naham bhakshaya moshigam. A Sanskrit mantra was given to him to chant. So this rat became 24 hours, it's a beats bag in the hand. Rat is chanting, Naham bhakshaya moshigam, Naham bhakshaya moshigam, Naham bhakshaya moshigam. He is chanting this and the sannyasi was very impressed by his spiritual advancement. He has given up all the non-vegetarian diet, everything, and has become pure vegetarian. And not only that, he is chanting this mantra and is making a lot of progress. Sannyasi was very impressed. One day what happened was that while he was chanting, because he's initiated now, he's got the beads bag and everything in his hand, he's holding the beads bag, and while he was chanting, some noise is coming from inside, from his mouth. So Sannyasi thought there is something wrong. He goes up to him. So when he went there, he saw that there was something in his mouth. So he asked the cat, what happened? What's in your mouth? He says, I don't know, I was just chanting, something went in front of me, I just took it inside. So I didn't know what it was, he said. Only then he realized it was a rat that has gone in. It was a rat that has gone in. So you can initiate him, you can give him everything, but the vasana inside won't allow him to escape from that very easily. So so why is it that is what Krishna is calling, saying here, he said, Subhavam. Subhavam is that prakriti, material nature. So, just like you can't change that habit of that cat, you can't change Arjuna also in the same way. Same way, you can't change Arjuna also. That's why Krishna is saying, Svabhava Jaina Kaundaya. It is his Svabhavam, Arjuna. It is your Svabhavam is like that. And your nature, prakriti, is to fight. Is to fight. Similarly, Arjuna fighting a war is his Svabhavam. And we all have to know what our Svabhavam is by nature. And Krishna is saying here, Mukti, liberation means this vasanas inside us getting it exhausted with the full knowledge of it, with the knowledge, and removing that karma vasana from inside is called Mukti. It's called Mukti. That means with the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, whatever karma vasana we have inside, getting rid of them with the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita is called liberation. This is the point Krishna is making here. That is what sadhana means. We think that sadhana is just chanting 16 rounds, isn't it? Chanting 16 rounds is only one aspect of the sadhana. Real sadhana is getting rid of this karma vasana inside with the full knowledge of Bhagavad Gita inside. That means proper understanding of karma, jnanam, bhakti, what is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, with a deeper understanding of that, engaging in this world and releasing all the karma vasanas from inside is called liberation. It's called liberation. We'll give you the best example. In Maharashtra, you will notice the Maharashtra saints, you know most of them, famous ones, just like we have Jnaneshwar to begin with, Yaneshwar, then we had Namadev, Ekanath, and Tukaram, and many others like Gaurakumbha. They, all of them, what is interesting about them is they came from different backgrounds in their life. One was a potter, one was a shopkeeper, one was a weaver who wore the clothes. This is what they are so special, this personality. They are so special. They are not like Shankaracharya, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, coming from a very higher Brahminical culture as such, although Jnaneshwar came from that. But in profession, all of them were ordinary people. Ordinary people means they had lived a life in this world like anybody else. But through their life they showed to us, it is possible to realize the self even while in any body, provided if you know the science of the soul like spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. They all were great jnanis. They had great understanding of Krishna consciousness. Tukaram, you know, he was a shopkeeper, isn't it? Ekanath, who later on, you will see, he was a devoted student of Janardhan Swami. And you will see, if you read Ekanath's life, you will see in the Bhagavadam, in Ekanath, Bhagavadam is famous. Ekanath wrote its famous commentary on Ekadasha Skandam, which is very well known. And then you have got Jnaneshwar above all, then you got Tukaram, and then there is Namadev, all different. One was a farmer who used to grow food, agriculture, he engaged in agriculture. One was a potter, Gaura Kumbhar, he was a potter. Then there was a weaver, who was a shopkeeper. Like this, all ordinary trades people do in this life. They were engaged in all these different trades. But what did they do? in all their different professions, they engaged in spiritual life in such a way that they got rid of their karma vasana in their particular field where they were engaged in, with the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita behind. In that way, they got themselves freed from this world. This is the success story. Most practical and most realistic and very recent times, not so long ago. All of them are in the YouTube and internet, you can read about them. Ekanath, Tukaram, Namadev, Gaurakumbhar, Jnaneshwar, and these are the main personalities who are engaged in spiritual life. That is why they became so famous. You see, when Shankaracharya, Ramanuja and all, they were talking with the highest knowledge in their heads, with the on a very higher level. Ordinary people were finding it difficult to relate with them. Whereas these people, through simple life in this world, like any one of us, engaged in the normal activities of this world, and cultivating Krishna consciousness in that state, and day after day, attachment to Krishna increases, and in that process, all their karma vasanas got exhausted in this world. And because they were in a normal, ordinary level, more and more people got attracted to it. Their ordinary people got attracted to their life in this world. And that's why these saints in Maharashtra, they became more acceptable in the society than the anybody else. Because ordinary people could relate with them. This is the advantage. Ordinary people could relate with them very easily. Unlike the other acharyas who had spoken in a much higher level, because ordinary people find it very difficult to connect with them. Whereas this was the beauty of these great personalities. And that is what we are saying here, that Krishna is also saying that Subhava Jaina Kaunteya, Krishna is saying here that vasanas, when they go, that mukti means with the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita, which means referring to that Karma Yogam and the six chapters before, a deeper understanding of that, and still engaging, knowing one's own vasana, what it is, engaging that karma and getting himself freed from that karma vasana, wiping it out without creating any more new vasanas inside. And that is the sadhana. Karma vasana will not go if you don't engage in karma, one thing. And that means if you engage in karma without knowledge also, it won't go. Yeah. If you don't engage in karma, vasana won't go. If you don't engage in karma with the knowledge of the karma yogam, if you engage also, it won't go. Without the knowledge of karma yogam, if you engage in karma, also it won't go. And if with the full knowledge of the soul, Bhagavad Gita in other words, if you engage in karma without creating raga dvesham, attachment and aversion, if you do that, in due course of time, karma vasana will leave you. Karma vasana will leave you. You see, because you know what the problem is. It is this karma vasana that is causing this problem inside, that I have to do something to get something. Kartrutvam and bhoktrutvam is because of this karma vasana inside. And that is why we bring that into spiritual life and we expect the same way we did karmam outside. I'll engage in karmam in spiritual life also, I must get the result. Unfortunately, in spiritual life it doesn't work that way. So that is why it is mentioned here, and that is what is called mukti. That is what is called mukti. Then, and that is the sadhana for liberation. And Krishna is going to talk about the way for that. And Krishna says here, even if you say that I will not do it, karishyasi avasheshitat. If you look into the 18th chapter, because that is where Krishna is concluding everything. If you look into the 60th verse in the 18th chapter, Krishna says there that Subhava jena kaunteya nibhaddasvena karmana kartum nekchasi yan mohad karishyasi avashopitat. See that word, each word there. Karishyasi avashopitat. Even if you decide not to do it, karishyasi, you will do it helplessly, Krishna says. Avashopitat. You are helpless about it because your vasana inside won't allow you to escape from that. Why don't you do it with the proper knowledge? That is Krishna's question. Why don't you do it with the proper knowledge and use this body to get rid of that vasana from inside? Whatever vasana inside, get rid of that with the proper knowledge so that new vasana won't develop. One, existing vasana will get exhausted. This is the principle behind it. Everything very subtle level, is it not? Spoken on that. We won't take notice of all these things. We just think that everything will come on its own. It won't. It will come only when it happens. These things happen. That's why it says that Karishyasi Avashobhidat. Avasha means helplessly. You have no choice there, he says. That helpless, compelled by your own nature, Karishyasi, you will act all the same. So, saying that, Krishna says here, that the, so, here, even if you think that you don't want to do it, you will be forced to do it. And it will force you to do it, Krishna says. So, if you want to be happy, Krishna says, what should you do? Ishwara sarvabhudanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtadi brahmayan sarvabhudani yantrarodhani mayaya. That is the verse. Answer to that. Ishwara sarvabhudanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtadi. And here, the word Ishwara means actually controller. Controller is the word there. Ishwara means not the supreme personality of Godhead. It is actually the supreme controller there. Ishwara sarvabhudanam hriddeshe. Because situated within us, inside the heart, Krishna is controlling us. How? He forces us to act according to our vasana inside. That is the Krishna's control on us. Even sometimes you can see, I tell you in the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, there are numerous examples of this. Duryodhana, Dhritarashtra and many others saying this to Akrura when they are to see. Dhritarashtra says to Akrura, I can't do anything about it. I know what is right. And I know what's wrong also. But inside, he is sitting inside and forcing me to do the wrong thing. What can I do? He says. You know that, huh? That the Dhritarashtra, you know, everything what was going on, Dhritarashtra knew it was wrong. Duryodhana was creating such a hell for him, isn't it? And when Draupadi was disrobed, then when the Pandavas were burnt in that house where the lakh was there and they set fire to it, all these things were happening with full knowledge of Dhritarashtra. And Dhritarashtra didn't say anything about it. And when Arjuna, Krishna sent Akrura to speak to him, Akrura has been talking to him, and Dhritarashtra says, I know everything, what has done is wrong, but I can't do anything about it, he says. There you can notice that words there. We'll come to that later. So here, so controller, one person who is sitting inside, and he makes us to move. In other words, he agitates our vasanas inside. He is agitating our vasanas inside. And he is sitting there as a witness to everything, whether we are doing it or not. So that is why immediately after that verse, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Tameva Sharanam Gacha Sarvabhavena Bharata Prasada Dham Bhavo Sthanam Prapsisi Shashwadam. See how Bhagavad Gita takes us to that point to make us accept that. Tameva Sharanam Gacha Sarvabhavena Bharata, isn't it? Immediately after that you will see that. See, first of all, in the 60th verse, Krishna spoke about the Svabhavam. Svabhavam means the vasana inside. What is driving you? In the verse 61, Krishna says that Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities. What does that mean? It means that inside, sitting in our heart, He is controlling our vasanas and forcing us to act according to our vasana. Then in the next verse, He says, Tameva Sharanam Gacha, surrender there. That is where you have to surrender. Sarvabhavena Bharata Tal Prasadal Param Shantim Sthanam Prapsasi Shashwadam. If you surrender there to Him, not anywhere else, to any deity anywhere in the world, He who is inside, sitting there every moment, controlling our life, pushing us to do some things, whether we like it or not, and continuously forcing us to act in one way or the other, it is Him who is doing that, the controller inside. That is where you have to surrender. That is why these three verses in a row. Subhava Jaina Kaundeya, Ishvara Sarvabhudanam, Tameva Sharanam Gacha. Three verses in a row to tell us what is the way to get out of this. Tameva Sharanam Gacha, Sarvabhavena Bharata. Surrender has to be there. Krishna is present inside me, inside you, inside everybody. And Krishna is forcing them to act according to their vasana. If he comes to that consciousness and accepts that he is directing me, means there is surrender. And what are normally we do? Because we don't accept it, we keep on making our plans and try to force that plan in our life, and that fails. Therefore, tameva sharanam gacha sarva bhavena bharata. Krishna says, by all means you surrender there. Whatever vasanas inside, let it go. But with this knowledge, you engage in that so that the vasanas get exhausted. That is what he is saying here. So it's almost 4:15. We'll stop another 10 or 15 minutes and we'll continue again. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Rama Ram, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Rama Ram, Hare Hare. Ishvara Sarvabhudanam Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtadi Brahmayan Sarvabhudani Yantrarudhani Mayayam Tameva Sharanam Gacha Sarvabhavena Bharatam. Talprasadal Param Shandim Sthanam Prapsasi Shashwadam. So you can see that sequence, the verses, three verses, what Krishna is talking about there. So here, Sharanagati, we are talking about surrender, isn't it? We saw this beginning, that on one level, self-realization is a very easy thing. And another level, self-realization is the most difficult thing. Do you see that problem there? Why is most difficult? Because we will use our mind and intelligence, just like the way we do in this world. Work hard, we have to do so many things to get the result. Mind will tell us, take us away from another route to wander around with different thoughts, chittavati. It will take us in another level. The intelligence will tell us that how can you realize the self without doing something about it. That's what intelligence will dictate from inside. So accordingly, according to the vasana inside, the person will engage in karmam, but without any knowledge of the effect of karmam in a person. Yeah. So that's why the first six chapters, Krishna deliberately spoke about karmam, karma vasana, how to wipe out this karma vasana from inside by engaging in karma yoga. All these things are important in Bhagavad Gita. You can't stay away out of that. It's important. So therefore Krishna says there that you have to get rid of the vasana inside. Whatever vasana one has, he has brought that with you from previous life. That may be any vasana, it doesn't matter. Whatever vasana inside, that vasana must go. So how do you get rid of the vasana? By doing that karma what you are meant. But with the knowledge of the self. In other words, with the background of Bhagavad Gita, you should do that. With the understanding of Bhagavad Gita. In that case, what will happen? That karma vasana will not create any more new vasana. On the other hand, it will get exhausted all the existing vasanas inside. That is the benefit from that. So if that happens, if it gets exhausted, you will automatically surrender. There won't be any more personal effort required. Sharanagati surrender is not by your effort. This is the important thing. We are thinking, we tell everybody, you have to surrender, Prabhu. But it's not something in your hand. Because already inside you, that subtle body is packaged with all the vasana that won't allow you to surrender. So that has to be exhausted. That's what Krishna is saying here. That not to create any block in your natural process of surrender to Krishna, which is caused by this Svabhava Jaina Kaunteya, the vasana inside, that has to go. So without giving, with surrendering to one's own Svabhavam, means accepting this is my nature, let me do that. But without creating Raga Dvesham, attachment and aversion to the or the kartrutvam bhoktrutvam, that I am the doer and the result, getting engaged in the karmam and releasing all the vasanas in that, engaging in karmam. And that is what Krishna says here, if that is what is called swadharmam. Swadharmam. And if one does that, naturally Krishna says, swabhavam will get wiped out eventually from inside. And swarupam will come out. Swarupam is our pure nature, pure consciousness will happen. All of us have got these two things, isn't it? Swarupam and swabhavam. This we must know very well. Our swarupam is the same. All of us have the same swarupam. Means what? We are spiritual by nature. But our swabhavam is different. Is it not? By nature, our swarupam is the same. We are all spiritual entity, spiritual spark, consciousness in other words. But swabhavam in all of us is different. So to stay in swarupam and changing, wiping out the swabhavam is spiritual life. Wiping out swabhavam is spiritual life. Krishna says here, swarupam, you cannot play with it. It is your swarupam, isn't it? It will never change. It's always with you. You are that. Tatvamasi, it says, you are that. You are that soul. By nature, you are spiritual. Spirit, soul, beyond, isn't it? But swabhavam is prakriti, material nature. That's your vasana. That changes. Swarupam doesn't change. Swabhavam changes. And that is called the mind. Different terminologies used, that's all. In essence, it's the same thing. Vasana is called the mind. Mind is the vasana. Mind is the swabhavam and soul is the swarupam. Soul is the swarupam. And if you want the swarupam to come out, you have to wipe out the swabhavam from inside. Swabhavam is a cover which does not allow the swarupam to come out. So, swabhavam, when will the swabhavam will go? And by controlling swabhavam, it won't change. We are thinking that by controlling my nature, like the cat was trying to do by closing the eyes, and naham bhakshyami mushya, that I am not eat the rat and chanting, it won't change. The vasana will come out in some form. And Arjuna was finding it very hard. And he was speaking like a sannyasi. I won't fight this war. And showing all these fine sentiments for the world and everything. Krishna is saying to Arjuna, Arjuna, don't talk nonsense. You are a kshatriya. You are, even if you decide not to do it, it will come out eventually through you. That vasana will come out through you. So, here, so, two things. One thing, that by controlling your swabhavam, oh, I won't act like that. Forcefully, if you try to control it, it won't stay. It won't stay. Secondly, if you're engaging in karmam in ignorance, that also won't help. That also won't help. So what is required is, if with full knowledge, what Krishna has spoken in that 6 chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, proper understanding. That's why I was saying, that 6 chapters, you keep on listening, you will get that subtlety of those chapters. And if you get that point through, get across your mind, and if you train your way of thinking in that direction, that will help to remove those vasanas from inside with that full knowledge. And if you do that work with that understanding, what will happen? Without desires of the results and without the ownership, I am the doer. If you engage in that karma, and if you surrender in that way, it will surrender will happen. And that is what Krishna mentions there, Sharanagati, as Tameva Sharanam Gacha Sarvabhavena Bharadam Ilprasadarparam Shandim Sthanam Prapsasi Shashwatam. You will get to that state. Ultimately, Param Sthanam Prapsasi Shashwatam. Param Shandi, Krishna says, supreme peace, supreme state of peace. In other words, once the vasanas have gone away from inside, that is called Shandi. Shandi, state of Shandi. So, this will not happen if you sit quietly for an hour in meditation every day, in falsely closing your eyes and thinking that I am done meditation now, I am going to be peaceful. People have this misunderstanding. Most of these yoga schools, they will tell you like this. Oh, are you stressed out at the work, in the business or industry? Come and perform 1 hour, join us for the yoga. And people go for these yoga classes thinking like that. They will get some shanti there. All what happens is 1 hour, they are having a good sleep and then they are coming back. That's all it is. That's all. Nothing else will happen. Because inside, in the subtle body, none of the vasanas have gone. As soon as he comes back, all the thoughts will come back again. At the stress in the office or stress at the workplace, whatever it is. And he'll start giving the same problem again. So what was the use of that 1 hour you stayed out of it? What did it help? No, it won't help because vasanas have not gone from inside. That is why it's special thing Krishna mentions here. Only when the vasana leaves you, you know what I'm saying. Vasana means the impressions inside, in your subtle body. You have a lot of impressions we have created in different lifetimes. We have brought that with us into this world. So once the vasanas goes away, peace will come. And once the peace happens, what will happen is what will happen at that time is vasanas gone away, you will realize that I'm not the doer. That's when it happens. I'm the doer has to go from inside. And once it is on, that karmam will become pure. Karmam will become pure. So it Ishvara Bhavam Jnanam. So we'll realize that is why when you read Bhagavatam, you will notice this. From great personalities, in their surrendered state, when they talk to Krishna, they will say, everything you are doing, I am not doing. Mahabali said this to Krishna. Vritrasura said this to Krishna. Ambarish Maharaj said to Krishna. Why? Because this Kartrutva Bhavam, I am the doer, is not there in their words anymore. Because they have reached that state, a state of peace has come to them in a natural way. So they will always say like this, in Krishna's hands, we are just an instrument. We must be able to say that to reach that state. That is what in that verse you will see. Kalosmi loga chegral pravartha, logan samahartamiha pravartaha. Kalosmi. Krishna says, I am that time who have come personified. Loga Kshegra Pravartha means I have decided to destroy this world and I have come for that. Logan Samahartam Iha Pravartaha. When Krishna says this to Arjuna, Kalosmi, I am time who I have personified. Kalosmi Loga Kshegra Pravartha. Then I have come to destroy everything. Logan Samahartam Iha Pravartaha. And also already started my activities in that direction, and I've come in that way. So here you can notice, I mentioned before also, here it is not the Vishnu who is present, it is Rudra side of Krishna. It is not Krishna here as Vishnu. Vishnu is as the maintainer, isn't it? It is Rudra, Shiva side of Krishna, who Krishna is talking about here. Kalosmi loga kshegra pravartha, logan samahartam iha pravartha, hrideya mitva na bhavishyanti sarve yavastita pratinigeshu yodha. He says to him that don't be foolish to tell me that you are not going to fight this war, it's not going to happen. And you are just like a straw, hay, or a straw in the when the wind blows strongly, you will go along with that. Similarly, this powerful thing called time, it is blowing all the time. And you have no freedom to decide what you will do and what you won't do and all that. He says to him. So, Krishna is saying to him that if you understand that you are just like a straw in the straw of hay or whatever it is in the influence of the wind, just like you can see sometimes a leaf that has fallen from the tree is lying on the street. As much as the wind blows, it goes along with it. It doesn't have any freedom, isn't it? Whichever direction the wind is blowing, the leaf also has to go in the same direction. Similarly, in our life also, the point Krishna is making is that Krishna has decided certain things. He has sent us here with this body and with the vasana inside, with the subtle body. And we are meant to accept it. We have no choice there. The right thing, Krishna says, knowing that Krishna is behind everything, he is controlling everything, surrendering to that vasana and getting rid of that vasana with the full knowledge what Krishna has spoken about it and wiping out the vasana from inside, is liberation. Is liberation. So, Hridayabidvanna Bhavishyanti Sarve. He says, I have decided to do something with you. He says to Arjuna. Decided to force you to do something. I've already decided. And that is why this body is standing there. He says to Arjuna. Your so-called body, as Arjuna is standing here, because I've already decided with this body, I'm going to get these things done. And with those bodies, I'm decided to get these things done. Krishna is so clear about that. He has no difficulty at all. But we don't realize it. We're thinking that it is my plan that's going to work. So that's why, Hridayabidvanna Bhavishyanti Sarve. If you tell me that, oh, you're not going to kill your grandfather or Bhishma or the great, your teacher, Drona, or all these things, you're not going to escape from that, he says. If you don't do it, I'll be doing it. But you're not going to get any credit from that, he says. That, do you think that if you're not going to do it, that they're going to escape from death? This is the question Krishna is asking to Arjuna. Suppose Arjuna says, I'm not going to fight this war. Do you think Bhishma and Drona is going to free himself from this death? So, I will get rid of some little boy and get the job done, he says to Arjuna. So, that's all. If you want to fight the war, you can fight. And if you fight the war, you will get a name that Arjuna, you have killed them. Esho labhasya, it says there, isn't it? Tasmatamuttishta yasho labhasya jitva shantrun. That yasho labhasya is that word. You see that word? Tasmatamuttishta yasho labhasya. Uttishta means get up, Arjuna, and get a good name from this battlefield. From this battlefield. You walk out from here with a good name. Tasmatamuttishta yasho labhasya. That is that yasho labhasya means. So, yasho labhasya. And if you do that, what will happen? You don't have to kill. They've already killed. But if you do it, tomorrow's newspaper, Hastinapur Times, your name will be there. Arjuna has killed Drona and Bhishma. That's all. You will get that credit. That's all. That's all the benefit you're going to get. Nothing else, he says to him. Said, Arjuna killed Drona. And you can get that name. But you are nobody, Krishna says to Arjuna. You are nobody. You are just a machine in my plan. That's all. You just have to function accordingly. That's all. So, this is the one aspect of this drama. Krishna's drama in the Mahabharata war. You are nobody. Hridayabidvanna Bhavishyanti Sarve Evastita Prati Nigyoshi Yoda. Hridayabidvanna Bhavishyanti Sarve. All of them, it's already settled that they're going to die. It's already decided. If they don't die here, they'll die somewhere else. But they have to die. And is there anyone who have not dead in this world? Krishna is asking. Whether you kill them or don't kill them, they will die. That is the reality. So, whether you are there or not, there, and you think that if they are not going to die, don't be under that illusion. And all of them who are here now are born to die, Krishna says, and they'll be dying very soon. And only thing is, Krishna is saying there, that I have kept you only as a, that is the last line, nimitta matram bhava savyasa chin. You are just a cause, that's all. Nimitta matram. Through you, it will be done. That's what my decision is. But if you don't want to do it, don't do it. Somebody else will do it. Namitta matram bhava savya sanchin. So, that's all it is. If it is like that, where is the kartrutvam, ownership? I am the doer. So, there's an interesting thing about it, that this kartrutvam is a very difficult thing to wipe out, isn't it, from inside. Whenever we feel kartrutvam, kartrutvam means I am the doer, the ownership, I am the doer. If it is there, it is the symptom of maya inside. Realized personality, great souls, jnanis, they will never think in terms of kartrutvam. They have this freedom to completely see through things in depth. Because they are so conscious that Krishna is doing everything. And that is why they don't get distressed about anything. When disasters happens in life, they don't feel distressed about it. You can notice that. In all great personalities, you will observe this. So, when many people, you can see in the past, they left home
for spiritual realization. And they have left home, broken up all their connections with the family and society, everything, and they gone away once for all. Once they have left the society, family life, social life, and connections with this world, they have broken it. From their side, they broke it. And later on, after they have settled down in their spiritual position, family members will still come looking for relationship again, back, to develop and to cultivate relationship with them, because they are still thinking in terms of their old connections. Mother will come saying to the child, "Oh, you are my such a lovely son, you are. Why have you grown away like this?" And they will come, Maya will come in different form. Maya will come in different form and try to re-establish that broken link again. So, in one case, Ramana Maharshi's case, his mother came in this way, and she came and she started preparing nice food for him. And that's the last thing he wanted, because food is a medium through which these relationships build up very strongly, like that, isn't it? So he would not speak one word to her. She came to see him, he would not speak one word to her. So everybody else was feeling very awkward who was present there. They knew him, they knew his mother as well. So they were saying to him that, "Why don't you speak to her a few words, at least to, after all it's your mother." That's how it starts everything. "Why don't you speak a few words to her?" He won't say one word. Somebody asked him, "Can you not write something and give it to her, if you can't speak at least?" See that, how that Maya's influence is strong. He had to break away from the whole connections, family connections. He had to struggle very hard to get out of it. And years he has spent in the Tirunamalai temple to break away from all this. And suddenly this Maya comes back again to capture him back. Sometimes it's wife, sometimes it's the mother, sometimes it's children. They come in different forms. You have already broken up all the connections with them years ago, and you've already taken shelter of the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, and you are going in that direction. Suddenly they come to pull you back again. So that's why he says here that, what did he write? He decided to write then to her. He wrote a piece of paper. It's like that. What he wrote was, "Everybody in this world, according to their prarabdham and being controlled by Krishna, by Ishvara," he says, "and that powerful force who controls everyone is controlling everyone and moving them in this world. If you decide to do something, no matter how hard, if you decide, it may not happen. It is his decision. It is Krishna's decision. And if it is meant to happen, no matter how hard you try to stop it, it's not going to happen. So, therefore, know this truth very well and surrender unto him, and then you will be peaceful." That's all he wrote in the piece of paper and gave it to the mother. Mother, what she understands? All these things. Mother says, "Son has gone crazy. He's writing all these things." Mother is seeing the son in a different way. Mother is saying, "She's my such a nice child he was." And she started making this papadam, you know, for him. Because apparently when he was a child, he was fond of papadam. So she started making papadam for him. So he started realizing it's getting danger zone now. So one day he walks into the kitchen and he started making papadam, and he wrote a song about papadam and handed over to her. Still it won't get in. And it was a hard job sometimes to fight this Maya that comes from the family side in different forms. When you have taken to Krishna consciousness, when you have started searching for the truth, for self-realization, everything in this world will come as a block in front of you. There's nobody will be there to encourage you in spiritual life. Everything will be a disturbance, in other words. But they are jnanis, they are powerful personalities, they manage to escape while in this world because of the strong vasanas that had come with them from previous lifetimes. Anyway, he gave this message to her. Whatever is meant to happen will happen in this world. Even if you try very hard to stop it, it's not going to happen. And if you think that something you can stop, something is meant to happen, if you stop it, it will not work. Either way, it is not going to happen. So then somebody asked him that if everything is done by Ishvara, then shall I keep quiet, not do anything about it? Says, you try, he said. You try. If you can sit quiet, you won't be able to sit quiet. Why? Because the vasana inside will push you. You will sit few minutes quiet, third minute you will get up from the seat again. He said, even that freedom you don't have to sit quiet. Even to sit quiet, even that freedom you don't have. Then, do you have the freedom? He said, that is the greatest difficulty, he said. So, even if knowing that I have no kartratvam, no doership in anything, even after knowing that, whatever Krishna is forcing us to do in this world, we can do that. We should do that. Knowing very well, I am not doing it. Krishna is forcing me to do it through my vasanas inside. That means, if these verses in the Bhagavad Gita is properly digested inside, then you will know that everything is happening. Krishna has decided that this is how it's going to be. I will adjust myself with that and accept it. Whatever that comes, I'll accept it. If we stay in that state and continue doing that, kartrutvam won't come. Kartrutvam will go away because you have already accepted Krishna is doing it. According to my vasanas inside, Krishna is engineering it from inside, Krishna is executing it from inside, and it's happening. That is what that verse is. Ishvara sarvabhudanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtadi brahmayam sarvabhudani yantrarudhani mayaya tamayava sharanam gacha sarvabhavena bharata talprasadar param shandim sthanam prapsasi shashvatam. That verse, three verses there, like that. So this you can see in the case of acharyas. This is what they were. They were in that state all the time. That they know there is no kartrutvam. But you look at their life, wandering from Kanyakumari to Kashmir, from Dwaraka to Mayapur, or east to west, north to south, all over the country they traveled, completely busy in spiritual life and with that powerful spiritual vibrations they created in their own spiritual activities. They were so busy, more busy than any of us in their spiritual life. But why? With this consciousness, no kartrutvam in there. There is no kartrutvam, that they are the doers in there. So, whatever Krishna forces us to do, knowing very well there is no kartrutvam inside, I am not the doer and doing that. And if you make that practical in life, Krishna is saying here, that is the perfection of that spiritual life. Perfection of that spiritual life. Otherwise, kartrutvam won't go away very easily. We will do our little mundane things in this world and we take a lot of credit to it and we feel a lot of identification with it and we feel great satisfaction from that and we falsely get victimized by the action, isn't it? Plus, it creates a lot of karma vasana inside also. So that is the point Krishna is making here. So, with this knowledge inside, that you can see there that people say like this, that oh, this knowledge is not a very nice thing. This is why what has made the people in India very lazy. They say like that, you know. In the West, particularly in Americans, they talk about, you Indians are very lazy. You have got all this philosophy and you are sitting there not doing anything. Why don't you do something about it? Many people in America, they criticize Indians for that, not doing anything. But point is this, that because they see everything from the surface, not on a deeper level, what Krishna has spoken, that Krishna's point is, because Krishna is saying to us, that when somebody criticizes, like, they don't see anything beyond the body, do they? But here is Krishna saying to us, look, I've given you this human body to get out of this body once for all, which is self-realization, not to come back and accept another body. Now, persons who are saying this, that we are lazy, we are not doing anything, are those who have no idea that they are beyond the body something else. Even that basic knowledge has not gone in. So therefore, because of the deep absorption in the body and due to the strong karma vasana inside, they are thinking that this is karmam will save them. Krishna is saying, karmam will bind you. It will not save you. This is the principle. You see, this knowledge, except Krishna who has given this to this world. This is where Krishna is considered by all the great authorities, spiritual master, as his spiritual master. Only Krishna alone could speak this so forcefully through Bhagavad Gita and stress this point, which has already been confirmed by the great sages many, many years before Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. All the Upanishads' knowledge is this. This is the knowledge of the Upanishads, which Krishna is talking to Arjuna in this way. So it is only due to ignorance, people say like this, that they are lazy. What it is that there is so many things what blocks in our self-realization. What is that? The false ego inside. The false ego inside. Abhimanam, the pride inside. I am the ownership, I am the doer, that inside. And that is the whole problem in us. That's the whole problem in us. So, why do we get tense? We get the tension because I am the doer. Therefore, the tension begins. The moment you think that the whole life is in your hands, then the tension builds up. Everything is in your hands. Once this ignorance has gone from inside, there will be no tension either. You can do any big thing in this world, there will be no tension. So, so whatever happens is, Krishna says here, tension will not be there because karmam is the cause of all the distress in this world. We think that this life is in our hands and we start thinking that we have a lot of things to do in this world. And we also think if we don't do it, the whole thing, world is going to turn upside down. And if when all these things are there, we are thinking that if all these thoughts are there inside, only then you can engage in action. Because people have this misunderstanding that unless they have very deep conviction about engaging in karma, you won't get the motivation to act in this world. Isn't it? Motivation to act in this world. That is why they propagate this from the school days itself. Very forcefully they put this through into people's mind, children's mind, isn't it? They tell the children, very much so, that the future is in your hands. What you do, it's in your hands. But if you have lived in this world 50, 60 years, you will know that nothing is in your hands. When you were at school, you thought something, afterwards something else happened. Like in the wind, you are carried away to somewhere, you got stuck in some place, and then you lived there, and everything what happened, nothing was in your hands, you come to know at some point in time and later in life. But when this is injected very strongly into children's mind, that they are the destiny, making their destiny in later, they are the people who have to make their destiny, and you can see all these things, that even if you... they say that if you don't motivate people like this, that they will not work in this world. So in order to motivate people, they inject this false ideas into their head, that they are the doers, the results must be there, and if they don't act, that their future is in trouble, you have to mold your future. All sorts of things they train the children to accept falsely, and they suffer from that later. But by the time it's too late, by the time what they learned at the school is all wrong, by the time they come to realize, it's too late. Throughout their life, they built their life on this principle and increase their desires and give this false concept into their head that they are their destiny is in their own hands, that they have to make it. So, but if you try this principle in life, one's own life, only as an experiment you can see, you will see that there is no tension in life. Whatever happens will happen. What can you do? Krishna is doing this with every one of us. Whether good thing, bad things, doesn't matter. Whatever happens, it is in Krishna. Sometimes you will notice, if you have no ownership in anything, things will probably get better. Only when you take ownership, everything goes wrong. But when there is no ownership, if you just do it in a natural way without the ownership of that, it gets better. We always think like that, if we are responsible for everything. But you will notice one day that if you give up all ownership and walk out from the scene, things are getting much better there. It's true in everything, in every situation. You think that you are the one who is actually running that. But if you walk out from the scenario, one day you will notice things are going much better without in your absence. Everything is working much better. And you also notice that it is you who is actually causing the problem in every situation. Not due to your presence, but in your absence, things got better. So these things are there. Krishna is saying here suppose some people are dead in this world. You think the whole world is going to come to a stop? It's not going to come to a stop. But that's how things are portrayed in front of us, isn't it? In many instances, you will see when some people die, the situation gets better in the whole place, isn't it? So, kartrutva buddhi, that is what Krishna is saying here. Destroying that doership is more important. Not who is present or who is not present. That's not the important thing. It is a destruction of this doership. And that is why Krishna is saying to Arjuna, otherwise Krishna won't say like this to Arjuna. The reason for that is Krishna is saying to Arjuna the secret behind the work in this world. The secret behind the work. And that we have to take into account before anything else. So Krishna knows very well what is all going to happen in this world today, tomorrow and future. And because Krishna knows that very well, and he is willing to do anything. You have been noticed that with Krishna. You give any responsibility to Krishna, Krishna will do that. The kind of things what Krishna has done in this world, in the Arjuna's chariot driver. When Rajasuyam sacrifice started, Krishna came over there and asked Yudhishthira, "What's my service?" he said. Yudhishthira didn't know what to say to him because he is the one who is going to be worshipped there as the chief guest at the Rajasuyam. So, Yudhishthira says to Krishna, on a special invitation, Krishna came from Dwaraka for Rajasuyam. So, and then Yudhishthira expected that Krishna won't ask for any kind of work to do. Actually, he was meant to be the chief guest and to be honored there in the Rajasuyam. But first question Krishna says, "What's my service?" So unable to say anything, Yudhishthira said to Krishna, "The only thing I can think of you doing is that a lot of great personalities are coming for this Rajasuyam. All the great sages, Durvasa, Vishwamitra, Angiras, Narada Maharshi, Sri Narada Maharshi, Bhrigu, and Parashuram, Jamadagni, Kanwa, and Asita, Devala, Vedavyas, Sukadeva Goswami, they will all be here. So perhaps if you could, you know, what do you say? VIP treatment, isn't it?" We have like in the manor, special guest scenario where you will look after a special guest, isn't it? So can we do that? Probably Yudhishthira thought that if you give that to Krishna, it won't be offensive to Krishna. Krishna says, "That's my good fortune. I got the right assignment." Why? Krishna, as in every one time when they came, Krishna washed their feet himself. He washes the feet of Narada Maharshi, all the great sages, and takes the water and sprinkle on his head and takes the charanamritam. That's Krishna is. That is Krishna. He made sure Shishuvala didn't get it. That's also mentions. That Rajasuyam, if you read, you will see. You made sure, because Shishuvala has misfortune. You will never get an opportunity to see all these great personalities in one place. The great personality, we worship all the businessmen, all the celebrities, all the politicians, all the rubbish. We go after them. This is the people who needs worship. And they won't come to our festivals. Our festival, we get this MP from Radlett, that MP from Borumwood, that MP from... This is our great devotees whom we worship. So we get such... This is what we are looking for. We get that. Isn't it? So in Rajasuyam, to get assembly of such great personalities, every one of them, you know who Durvasa is. You know who Dattatreya is. You know Vedavyas, who Narada Maharshi is. Krishna said, felt that he felt the greatest happiness that I got the best assignment than anyone else to look at looking after them. This VIP is there. And he looked after them so well that all of those great sages were so pleased with Krishna's reciprocation or the hospitality there that they said to report back this to Yudhishthira, saying to him how well they were cared for by Krishna. This is Krishna. Krishna has no such problem. Why is it like that? Krishna has no kartrutvam, that I am the doer. This is why he is able to do that. If they tell us to do something like that, okay, hospitality is one thing, we may take it. But if they tell us to car parking or distributing prasadam and all, we'll say, oh, that somebody else can do. I only do very important services in the temple. Other things, I don't do anything like that. Krishna has no kartrutvam, I am the doer, is not there in Krishna. So therefore, any service given to Krishna is same. As far as Krishna is concerned, kartrutvam is not there, and therefore bhoktrutvam is not there. Results doesn't affect Krishna. So that is why Krishna is saying to Arjuna here that the secret behind work in this world, and Krishna says here, he knows everything what is going to happen here, and therefore what all he did throughout the Mahabharata war, what all things he conducted there to perform. So, therefore, if you look at Krishna's activities in this world, right from appearance, right the day till he left this world, when I say when he left this world, when he disappeared from our eyes, you can take it like that, what all Krishna has done, right from the early days, activities with the gopis, there it started. Stealing, isn't it? And then the next glorified thing was killed his own uncle, isn't it? So normally, if in a normal state, he should have gone to the juvenile, what do they call it, the training center or whatever it is. So that was the next thing. After that, you look into further life in this world, fighting with Jarasandha 78 times, then killing Kalayavana and others. All that, what happened with killing so many personalities, Narakasura, and many others like that. And Shishubala, Dandavatra, Rajasuyam sacrifice. Keep on looking at it. Kidnapping Rukmini in the middle of the marriage ceremony, kidnapping her. Then marrying another 7 girls, whom later on became his chief queens, all through various means which were not acceptable to the Kshatriyas of those days. Because Krishna was not accepted as a Kshatriya, you remember. They used to say that he is only a cowherd boy. He is a cowherd boy. He is not allowed to even sit with us and to eat. That is the arrogance of the Kshatriyas of those days. So Krishna dealt with them also in his own way, and taught a lesson to all of those, Rukmini's brother Rukmini, and also taught the others, like what you say there, great kings who are present there in the marriage ceremony. And then added to that, he went and married 16,000 girls who were kept under prison by Narakasura, isn't it? He released them all and married them for their benefit. For their benefit, because Krishna knew very well that once they come back from there, they won't be able to get married in the society at that time. So Krishna wanted to give them a position, he married them all. And all the Kshatriya princes that time started talking against Krishna. They're saying, if we allow this cowherd boy to keep on doing this, there will be no princesses available for the Kshatriyas to marry. You see that? Their problem. All of them were protesting against Krishna's marriages all the time. When he married Lakshmana, the same thing happened. Krishna goes there. All Pandavas were also there. And they were all shooting the arrow to kill that particular fish, which was similar to how Draupadi was married. Krishna shot the arrow and won the hand of Lakshmana and married her also. It was then that all the princes started complaining that if we allow this to continue, where is this going to end? You can't get a girl to get married to. All the Kshatriya princes were very finding it very, very difficult. So they were discussing this, and this way, whole of, and after this, all the politics and diplomacy going on with the Kauravas and the Pandavas got involved with that as well. And then engineered the whole Mahabharata war for 18 days. That happened. And after the Mahabharata war, made sure that everyone is finished. And then what happens? After that, goes back to Dwaraka and then goes for this solar eclipse in Samanda Panchakam in Kurukshetram, invites everybody there. All the Kshatriya kings have come there who were in favorable with Krishna. They came there to visit him. He spoke, then he called Uddhava, and Uddhava understood Krishna is leaving, gave the highest message in the Vedanta philosophy to Uddhava in Prabhasam at that time, and then told Uddhava, you go to Badrinath now. Stop all the work, he said. To Krishna, Arjuna says, Krishna says, work all the time, never give up work. To Uddhava, he says, never touch anymore, there's nothing to do in this world, go. And send him to Badrinath. Sit there, think about what I have told you, and come back to me, he says. After doing all these things, he made his own family members, decided that they're going to be the next problem, made them to fight each other. Took them to Prabhasam, and Swargadwaram, as it's called, Vayam Prabhasamodhama, it says like that, that goes there and told them, that you perform a lot of charity work here now, charity, and engage in a lot of spiritual activities there. All the Yadavas goes there, and after feeding the Brahmana, worshipping the Brahmanas, gave them a lot of Dakshina and everything, everything was over, the Yadavas decided, now we should have a good time. And they went into drink. They had plenty. As soon as that was gone in, they pulled out the big Airaga, the rods, and started fighting each other. 10 minutes before that, they were engaging the Brahmana worship, engaging in charity. Who was behind it? Krishna has engaged them, and they fought and killed each other and everything. After that, Krishna said goodbye to this world and gone. How come Krishna could do all these things? Why? There is no I am the doer in anything. That is Krishna. That is Krishna. There is no ownership anywhere. When we go through these next 6 chapters from here in Bhagavad Gita, you will start experiencing the beauty of that personality, Krishna. That is Krishna. That is Krishna. That beauty of that personality, totally detached from this world, completely situated on the spiritual platform, executing all the material activities, never touched by anything. Imagine we do something in this world. A small thing if we do, the whole world has to know that we have done this, isn't it? For Krishna, there was nothing like that. No, world has nothing to know with that. We have to print newsletter in the websites, and in the whole world has to know of our pure devotional service, what we are doing. But Krishna's, this is Krishna. Krishna is teaching us these things. That this is how we live our spiritual life. Otherwise, it's not spiritual. It's another mundane activity. If it's all publicized, advertised, looking for followers and wasting time this way, where is the spirituality in all these things? Spirituality is this. This is the quality of a spiritual personality, how he acts in this world. I am not the doer. And able to carry on executing work in this way without getting affected by anything. And that is why Krishna says here, so what all has he done? Suppose if it, because it's Krishna, we are keeping quiet, we are not saying anything about it. Suppose all this what Krishna has done, somebody else has done. We wouldn't let them go. All Daily Mail, Daily Express, everything every day will be after them, isn't it? Any small thing. So why is that we don't feel it when Krishna has done that? Krishna has done also similar things, but why we don't feel about that? So that is, Kartutvam is not there in Krishna. That is why. You see, otherwise it is not very easy. All these great sages, all the great acharyas, all the great devotees, all of them see Krishna's that personality behind. We don't see that. We see, in a mundane level, we see Krishna. But they see Krishna from that level, that there is no kartrutvam ownership of doing anything, I am the doer, is not there, even the trace of that in anything what Krishna has done. That is why when Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, it's taken so seriously by the great acharyas. And they followed his footsteps. Shankaracharya, Ramanuja, Madhvacharya, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarkacharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are all following his footsteps in the same level. But that is the path to follow. Not the path what we create today. In the modern world, we create another what suits our vasana inside. According to that, we act. Is it not? According to our vasana, we think this is all very spiritual, what we are doing. But actually, this is the route that they have shown us. Kartrutva, Bhoktrutva. What is material existence means? Kartrutva, Bhoktrutva, Ragadvesham. These four things, as long as you have Ragadvesham, as long as you have Kartrutva, Bhoktrutva, you are in material existence. You are not spiritual. This is the primary thing in this. And by Krishna's activities and by Acharya's activities, they are showing to us how to act in a spiritual platform. So after saying that, Kartrutvam, one who has lost that Kartrutva Buddhi in them, he is as good as Krishna's quality. Quality-wise, he is as good as Krishna because he has got rid of that Kartrutvam from inside. So here, Krishna is saying to Arjuna, if you remember in the Bhagavad Gita, you will see this. If you study Bhagavad Gita properly, all this is very, very interesting. When Krishna says to Arjuna that anavaptam avaptavyam trishulokeshu kinchana namaya parthasti kartavyam. Look at that verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Namaya parthasti kartavyam trishulokeshu kinchana. That is that verse of proof of that Krishna's state of consciousness while doing anything in this world. Look at that verse. Namaya parthastu kartavyam trishulokeshu kinchana, which is verse number namaya parthastu kartavyam trishulokeshu kinchana. Which is that? Chapter 322. Yeah. What does Krishna says? Is it 322, isn't it? Yeah, sorry. Name parthasti kartavyam trishulokeshu kinchana nana avaptam avaptavyam varta evacha karmani. Do you understand now what Krishna means by that? Name parthastu kartavyam trishulokeshu kinchana. O son of Partha, Pritha, there is no work prescribed for me within all the three planetary systems. Nor I am in want of anything, nor have I need to obtain anything, and yet I am engaged in work. Yeah? Krishna says, I have nothing to do anywhere. I don't need to do anything, but I am doing. But how is he doing it? With this state of consciousness. Namaya parthastu kartavyam, parthasti kartavyam trishulokeshu kinchana. And nana avaptam avaptavyam vartayevacha karmani. And that is the way karma should be performed. This is the message. This is the message. So, Krishna is saying that if you look here, Trishulokeshu Kinchana, he says, there is nothing I have to gain in this world by working. We all work to gain something, isn't it? Krishna says, I have nothing to gain here, but I am working. Trishulokeshu Kinchana. So, and that is why he says here, for Krishna, all these activities are happiness. Happiness he derives from this work. So, when we act without kartrutvam, Krishna says, you will enjoy the work. Means, it will bring happiness to you. If you take kartrutvam or ownership, and continuously you will get happiness in life, and you can work the whole life in this way, with this state of consciousness. You will not get tired, he says. And while working, Krishna says, I'm not doing anything. While working also, I'm not doing anything. While working itself, I'm resting. That's the point. We're working, Krishna is resting, he says here. And in other words, karmanya karmaya pashyet akarmanija karmaya sabuddhiman manushyeshu sayukta krishna karmagat. You will see another verse. This karmam is a subject. If you understand the intricacies of karmam, only then you will appreciate how karmam is linked to your own spiritual life. And if you don't accept this, simply think, I had a few times this discussion with different devotees. They have told me, that is not important, I handed over all my karmam to spiritual master. He's having everything. So they have misunderstood in that way. You can't just hand it over like that, all your karmam. If everything has been handed over, why am I suffering then? In this very life, I am getting sick, I am getting happiness, I am getting distress. Where is this coming from, if all my karmam has gone? Karmam doesn't go like that. There is nowhere in Bhagavad Gita it is spoken in that way. It's another topic. This karma must be understood. That's why in the first six chapters, if you understand the subtleties of those chapters, you will start seeing the proper perspective, how karma will be understood. So here, Krishna is saying here, that karmanya karmaya pashyed akarmanija karmaya. This is where that verse is coming. If you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will see that verse. I think it's the third chapter.
No,
418. 418, yeah? 418. Okay, let's have a look at that. Karmanya karmaya pashyed akarmanija karmaya sabuddhiman manushyeshu sayukta krishna karmakrat. Did you notice the words there? One who sees action in inaction in action and action in inaction. Every devotee asks this question. What does it mean? Yes or no? So many times this question has come. What does it mean? Then they say, oh, some word jugglery, only Krishna knows. We don't know what he's saying. Maybe he got it wrong. One who sees action, inaction in action, and action in inaction is intelligent among men. And he is in the transcendental position, although engaged in all sorts of activities. This is the translation. Yeah? Sabuddhiman manushyeshu sayukta krishna karmakrat. Do you see that word krishna karmakrat? Do you know what that means? Krishna karma means? All these words itself requires a lot of explanation. Otherwise you won't get to know what is he saying. Now, if you read the translation of this, most of the people will come out with the understanding it's something which is pretty far out, somebody will say. Or someone will say, oh, it's very weird. It makes no sense to me. So, people read Bhagavad Gita like this, without seeing the whole truth, what is spoken behind it. Krishna karma means any karma is, if it is properly completed, it is called Krishna karma. Do you know what completion means? Completion means, suppose you have done a particular karma. What does it mean? Karma will create a karma vasana inside. Karma vasana inside. And you have performed the karma, you got the result. What is the result? You got the benefit from that karma. Say you worked hard for a day, you got say 500 pounds from the work what you have done. Now, on an official level, karma is finished there. You had a contract for 500 pounds, you finished that, you got the money, karma is over. But Krishna is saying here, Sayukta Krishna Karmagat, karma has not finished there. If that vasana, what that karma has created inside you, every karma creates some vasana in everyone, is it not? Say, I take a contract, so 500 pounds. Either I have done it and I made some profit out of it, or I did it and I lost money in that. Either way, it has created a movement inside the mind, which is a ragam or a dvesham, attachment or aversion towards that, is it not? That will create what is known as kartrutvam. I am the doer inside. The ragadvesham that has come from that will create kartrutva bhoktrutvam. In a very subtle level, it happens inside. You won't even know about it. You have finished that karmam and you have left it. But that karmam has not left you. You have left the karmam. Karmam has not left you yet. Karmam sows the seed of I am the doer, I am the enjoyer inside. It also creates a ragadvesham inside before it goes away. Krishna is saying, the karma is only complete When there is no ragam, no dvesham, there is no kartrutvam, no boktrutvam, that is what is called Krishna karmam. Karmanya karmaya pashed agarmanija karmaya sa buddhiman manushyeshu sa yukta Krishna karmakrat. Krishna karmam, it becomes a Krishna karmam only when the whole vasanas are thrown out by the power of the yoga, karma yoga. So that is why Krishna is mentioning it like that. So I think we will stop there today. We will continue tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.